Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, welcome to the show. I had two shows for tonight. I couldn't get on. I had two shows. I had to get rid of one of them. All right, so I did that, and I'm back. Thank you for being here with us tonight, and sorry for being a little late. Yeah, sometimes that stuff happens. All right, welcome to the place tonight. Thank you for being here. We're going to be praying for everyone. I think some people have already hung up. I'm sure they'll call back again, hopefully here in a little bit, and hope you guys are doing good. Maybe I should send out another note that I'm on. I think I'll do that real quick. Give me just a second. Give me a second here. I'm going to send these out, and I'll be right there with you. All right, hopefully everybody's doing really good tonight. If not, we are going to be praying for you, believing God with you, minister to you tonight. I sent everybody a personal note, on at least on the PGN family. So if you got some of that, you might read it. The personal note for me, I sent it to you to group text. So please make sure and read that. You have to kind of click on that. It's kind of a long, it's not that long, it's a little bit long. You have to get on, when it comes to you, you have to click on it. And then it opens it up for you. It's not really a big deal, but it's a little note about some personal stuff, and really I think it might interest you, so might check it out. Send it to everybody on our list. If you're on our PGN family list of alerts, you have that, so go click on it. And read that. It's not very, very long, but so get a hold of that. And thank everybody for praying for me for my season that I just went through. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting. Built through stuff, right? And I tell you just a little bit about it there on the notes. So check your text, and you'll see that I left you a little note there for the last few months, and kind of explaining to you, you know, a whole other level that we're in and that I'm in. It's really unusual, really kind of cool. So hopefully you'll be able to read that and help you understand things a little bit more about what's been going on, and explain some things to you. We'd like to let everybody know what's happening. We have to wait to the right timing for all that. So check it out. And if you're not on our list of alert friends, then let me know, and I'll send it to you. Okay. If you'd like to have that note, if you didn't get our links, okay. You're welcome, Nicole. All right, everybody. You're welcome, Cynthia. I don't know why some of these people didn't get some of the stuff, but sometimes I don't get it all out there right or something. I'm not sure. But thank you for asking. And we'd like to share with you guys what we go through, but I have to wait for the right timing, right, on things. And so thanks for your prayers. And I tried to open up and talk about it a little bit so you can know kind of what's happening. And, yeah. All right. You're welcome. If you want that, just let me know. All right. So thanks for being on. And you don't have to be on the list if you don't want to be on the list. If you're listening tonight and you want to have that, I'll be glad to share it with you. So just ask. If you don't know how to text me, it's 214. 214-505-8719. All right, I'm going to repeat it, 214-505-8719. If you want that little note, that personal note I sent out to everybody, you can get it. And, yeah, so there you go. Kind of a personal thing. I don't usually share all my personal stuff with what goes on as far as what I go through. And so I'm getting it to you there. And I'm only sharing, you know, I'm sharing a lot of it, right? Not the whole thing, but yeah, so it's really been an amazing time. I guess I can share a little bit right now. You know, ever since we gave the word about the Antichrist on September the 12th, ever since we gave that word, you know, the pressure increased quite a bit. And that was in September the 12th. And I had given a word on the market in May that it was going to go the opposite of what everybody was saying it was going to do. So, you know, I'm used to that to a certain degree, but like when the Trump thing happened, that was a lot of pressure because we were saying that Trump was not going to get back in, Biden was going to maintain, he would not win any of his election lawsuits that he had claiming there was fraud. He won one that had nothing to do with fraud, but I think there are 61, 62 of them that we said that he would not win any of those concerning election fraud. And so all those, he did lose, 60 of them, and or they didn't even open up to them. So that was a lot of pressure back then. I mean, we've talked about that just a little bit. I've told you guys some of the pressure I went through with that, but it's hard to understand unless you actually, you know, are the person giving the word or in that position, right? You know what I mean? I'm not in your position. You go through pressure that I probably couldn't handle. And I may go through things that you probably couldn't handle. I don't know. But we like to talk about it openly the best that we can so that people can kind of know, you know, what's really going on. And so, I gave that word in September, or gave the information about the Antichrist on the 12th, which had been, you know, we've held on to that word, that name for quite a while, just waiting for God to let me do it, right? I couldn't figure out why he wasn't letting me, and it was all about timing, which I didn't know. I didn't understand all of it. When God gives you a word, and he tells you to keep it private until he says so, you better do it, right? You better do it, because I would have messed it up big time if I'd have done it the day before, or the week before, or the month before, or the year before. I would have really messed it up because the timing was explicit with what God wanted, and it's just shocking. But let me tell you something, what's going on globally and with the body of Christ as far as in the spirit realm. So maybe you'll understand some of the pressure that you're under to a certain degree. When, as we kind of turn the corner, to me, when the Queen of England died, I don't know why that affected us. I don't know why it affected the globe. I mean, you know, kind of understand a little bit, but, you know, she'd been queen for 70 years, about time she went on, you know, but it's the timing of it and the way it happened. And as far as, and then here we are, God releases the name of the Antichrist. So, you know, it was significant in prophetic. It was very significant in the end time word of the Lord. Very significant, very, very significant. And I did not even realize it at the time, you know. And so, but what happened is, it's kind of like being in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And Jesus is about to go do the thing that he had, you know, was born to do, that had been prophesied from the beginning of the Bible, basically, from the time Adam and Eve fell out of the garden, you know. And he said, one's going to come, it's going to, you know, mess Satan up, you know, going to stomp his head, but it would bruise his heel. Remember all that? That was way back in the book of Genesis. And so that moment when that came, and he was literally going to literally give his life, which was what he was born to do, and nobody understood it, it was the pressure that came with that was unbelievable. I mean, you see the living Christ, who was perfect, had no sin. It was a human being, but he was a perfect human being. He had never sinned. He not only didn't have not sinned, but he was anointed with the Holy Spirit like no man had ever been. He was an amazing man of God. He was all God, all man. And so the pressure, now you got to listen really close, because the pressure in that moment, at that particular, when certain things happen in time, as far as prophetic words and prophetic, the unfolding of new eras with God, the pressure that comes with that is just, it just, that's what happens. That's what happens when pressure, just like having a baby, pressure comes with that. And the pressure is what rents the veil, right? The pressure is what, you know, Jesus was sweat as it were great drops of blood, because the pressure that was there wasn't that he was nervous. It wasn't about being nervous so much. I don't know if nervous is a bad word, but it wasn't about being nervous. I wasn't nervous during that time. I was just under a tremendous pressure, and I didn't really understand why, because I'd given prophetic words before about the market and that kind of thing. But this one was different, and I explained to you in that word that I sent you that for some reason this market word was different than any other word I've ever given. And I've been under, I've been doing this since I gave the crash of the market, the United States, the global market, actually, here in the U.S. back in 2007, 2008. Gave the exact season that was in that, the exact week, if you will, that it was going to happen. And it happened. And nobody had that. Nobody had that. Only God knew that stuff. So God was putting me on a trail of prophetic words. And I've gotten some, you know, been under the under a certain amount of pressure. With some of them, the pressure is there, but, you know, you kind of learn and you grow. And, you know, the pressure that I could handle last year, you know, the pressure that I could barely handle last year, now I can handle that pressure like nothing, because you grow in the pressure. You enter into the kingdom of God with that pressure. Now, listen to this. The pressure actually pushes you in to a new dimension. Y'all hear that? The pressure actually presses you in to that new place with God. And without the pressure, you can't have that experience. It's not going to happen. It's a time of darkness. It's a time of, you know, difficulty. It's a time of pressure. And even though Jesus knew he was born to die, when it came time to do it, the pressure that was there, it wasn't like he was nervous about it. It wasn't, nervous is probably not a good, I don't like the word nervous. Actually, I like, it may be true in some senses, but the truth is that it's just under, you feel pressure, and that pressure is like making you vulnerable. That pressure is making you, like, it makes you vulnerable. That's its purpose. The pressure, too much pressure, too much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. And without that pressure, y'all, we're not going to enter in. So if you're running from the pressure, which most of us try to do, you're not going to enter in. You will not enter in. Pray for God to bring you into a new place. It's going to come with pressure. When you want a baby, you want to get a when you get time, comes time for that baby to crown. When it's crowning time, like that crown that was created in the market word that I gave, the hovering of the market word. Remember that, the crowning. When it's time and that baby's crowning, that means you're being stretched in parts of your body that normally are not that stretched for that head to come out. Without that pressure, you're not going to have that. That baby is birthed in, it's nothing but pressure. It's so intense. It's so amazing. And without that pressure in the natural childbirth realm, you're not going to have that baby. That's the process of birthing something, right? It's the process of breaking through into that new place you've been asking God for. You can't figure out, what's all this stuff going wrong for? What's all this stuff going crazy for? Why am I under so much pressure? There's not really that much bad going on with my life. So much. Sometimes it may seem bad. It may appear wrong, bad. But it's like, you know, but I'm used to pressure. I'm used to trouble. Why is this particular trouble? Why is this particular pressure on me? I've given words before about the market many times. But this word, I didn't even understand at first. That's what I'm trying to explain to you in the text that I sent you. This one came with a pressure that I wasn't even sure what it was. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like going, I want my mommy, you know, kind of a thing. Seriously, like, where's my mommy at? I need some comfort over here. And so I didn't understand why, because it's just another word, you know. It's another word, right? Just another word. About the market, no big deal. I've been doing it for years, and every time I get a word, nobody else hears it, nobody else knows it. And that's because God shows, you know, every prophet a little bit different thing. so nobody else is hearing it. So there's nobody to confirm. There's nobody to go, hey, Brother Chandler, I hear the Lord say it's going to go to 33. Now, there wasn't nobody doing that. I mean, nobody. Nobody. Market people don't even give you numbers of where it's going to go, you know. So, and here we are giving numbers, right? It's like God didn't just tell you it's going to go up, going good, and going to go down there, and going bad. He tells you it's going to go up when everything's wrong. And see, the amazing part of this word, if you read that short little note I sent to you, personal note to you about what I've been through and what's going on, you're going to understand that something new is happening. This pressure you're going through now is a pressure that's not just going to go, oh, God, I hope I make it through this, which is kind of what I was going through. This is like going to bring you into a new dimension with God. You've been praying about it. You've been asking God about it. God, bring me into a new place. Take me somewhere where I've never been before. And he says, well, you know, I hate to tell you, you don't want to have to listen to some of the teachers, the prophets tell you that it's going to be like birthing and you're going to feel the pressure, you know, and it's going to be, you're going to be crying out. It may not last long, and it may last longer than you think or you wish, but that's what you're going to go through. If you really want this thing, it's going to cost you some pain. It's going to cost you some pressure. So with this word, y'all, started in May, if you read the little note I sent you, started in May, about May the, I gave the word on May the 12th, and texted out to some friends to document it, right, through several friends. And so that documents it, because I sent it not just to one, or I sent it to several. And so they get it out there. And so you know, it's no big deal, another word, another thing, you know. God's changed the way I do it, but he's still doing it. So I get it out there, and, you know, as time was passing by, I just felt something was different about this one. I'm going, you know, God, something different going on? Something's happening? What's up with this? And what became evident is that the word that I gave, that God gave me, was that it's going to hover at 33. Hover. And the word, as everyone knows I sent to, and actually said it here on the show later, that it's going to hover at 33. Well, it wasn't supposed to be going to 33. It was supposed to be going down the opposite direction. It's going to crash. Right? So I'm given a word that's totally opposite everybody else. And I'm just telling you this because, friend, when you go opposite, the pressure that comes with that is amazing. It is amazing. But this particular pressure was a different pressure, and I didn't know what it was. And so after the hovering, and it created a crown, literally 3 points to a crown in the market chart. When you look at the chart, it's a three-point crown. And I sent that to you by text. The reason I sent it to you is so you could, hopefully you're looking at it. Hopefully you're paying attention to it, because this is gonna speak to something that's gonna help understand what you're going through. So when I send you this stuff, don't just go, oh yeah, isn't that pretty? No, I'm sending it to you. I'm taking the time to send this to you because I very seldom personally talk to you about things by text. Very seldom ever. I usually tell everybody else what they're doing. And, you know, and I don't hardly ever talk about things. And when I do, they're extremely important. So hopefully you got that going on. If you didn't, you need to ask for it. And because it's going to tell you where we are, where you are, what you're going through, and why you're going through it. Yeah. So when that word came forth, I noticed there was a different kind of excruciatingly sharp pressure. I'm used to pressure, right? Just like you are. Everybody's used to pressure in their own way. But this one came, and the pressure was sharp, and I couldn't quite get a hold of it. Is that as sharp as I thought? Yeah, that's sharp. That's pretty sharp. Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, I'll be fine tomorrow. And tomorrow I wake up, and I'm like going, it's getting sharper and sharper, and the pain's getting, and the pressure's getting sharper and sharper and sharper. And when it hovered for eight market days, it created a crown. Well, that crowning meant a couple of different things, three different things. The third thing that it meant was that there's a crowning going on of a baby being born, and the crown of the head is showing, and that is of this new era we're entering into, about the temple being built, and about the Antichrist, and we gave the word of the Antichrist on September the 12th, and then, see, all that was developing during this work, And the first 33 that I gave created a hover. It was a hovering word that created that crown. Crown was kind of manifest itself on September the 12th when I gave the word about who the Antichrist is, which I've known for 12 years or so, right? And so I noticed when that happened, when I gave that information, oh, a whole nother level of pressure began to happen. Oh, my God. Okay. I hope I make it through this. And then the Lord says, you know, about this time, he says, okay, Randy, he said, tell them it's going to go to 33 again. And I'm going like, all this happened about this time, right? And I'm going like, again, God? I mean, to me, it looked like it barely made it that time. And it did. My it was amazing. Within about a 15-day period, it made it. You know, I was shocked. And it hovered for 8 days. Now, that was shocking. Then it went down, and then it went back up to 34, and then right back down again. And then, okay, that's it, right? Okay, the pressure's over. You know, I don't know why the pressure with this one was so amazingly big and squeezing me, but it was. And then he says, oh, by the way, Randy, guess what? We're going to have a double. Now, you have to understand, when I'm telling you a double word, this is like the days of Joseph and like the days of Pharaoh when he interpreted his double dream. Now, I'm going to begin to explain this maybe a little bit tonight, but if not tonight, tomorrow night, because there's so much to download. And so the pressure, the point I'm trying to make, the reason I sent you that text was to tell you, in all truth, the pressure that I was going through was just unusual. I go, this is really sharp pressure. And then he says, you're going to do it again. Then he named the Antichrist. He says, it's going to go to 33 again. God, I mean, I barely made it through that first one for some reason. I don't know why it was so hard, but woo, this one here is like even stronger and harder. And oh, my God, what's going on? Lord, how come? What? Why is this so unusual? Why is the pressure so unusual? Not the word. The pressure. And so it hit again. Six, 4 to 5 months later, it hit it again. Everybody was shocked. The news had gotten worse. It looked like this time inflation, recession, all of it was going to just crash the whole market. It's all going to go down. They're all saying, it's going down. It's going. Everybody's screaming, it's going down. And here we are saying, it's going up again. Up again. And this is all made public. Right? And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, what's happening here? And long story short is that I realized that what's being birthed in is something that we've all been praying for, but some of us, some of y'all, some of them, some of us have been afraid of it because we've been taught wrong about it. So we're scared to death of it. Scared to death, right? Scared to death. So when you talk about it, it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, which helps you understand why prophets have to give words, and you can't give them the itching ears. That's why people hate you for what you say, because what you say makes them uncomfortable. And you can understand why, because it's difficult. It is a difficult thing. The pressure I'm going through of giving the words and the market and all the things, it's like something I've never been through in my life. I'm going, God, what is going on? And so it happened again, 33. Oh, my God, nobody... Like, you know, just this just happened in the last week. It hit 33 again. October, the middle, the end of October, November, hit 33 and went to 34, just like we said. You know, even said 34,200. Even mentioned that particular number in the text. You see it. I sent it all out. 34,200. Of course, it went up to 34, almost 34,194. And then it went to 34,340-some. So it went above it and right at it. You know, and we said it's going to go somewhere, you know, around 34,200, which was, you know, like unbelievable. And boom, there it goes again. It happened. I said, God, thank you. And this just the reason I sent this out today is because it finished kind of yesterday or day before, kind of finished. It kind of hit 34 and stayed there for a few days. This has been going on for a few days. And it's kind of like I'm going like, oh, wow, now I can rest. It came to pass. You know, and like I said, it's not nervousness. It was just pressure. I just felt the pressure like, why so much pressure with this one? Because this one is ushering in something brand new. And it's just like Pharaoh's dream that he had that only Joseph could interpret. Only Joseph understood it because only one person at that time was able to hear from God about it because God had chosen him to hear it and understand it and begin to interpret it. Just like kind of what we do here prophetically. We interpret the times. It's not necessarily a dream somebody has, but we're interpreting, we're telling you what God is saying, even though it's not coming through a dream, and it's and God just doesn't give it to everybody. He gives it to, you know, one person, as far as I know, here, and that's it. And so it's like, you know, there's nobody to confirm anything. There's nobody to go, yeah, pat you on the back, yeah, good job, Chandler, you're doing a really great job. It's like, I don't know, I hope so. Well, maybe, no, I don't know. No, us going down, us going up, us going down. And people just don't know what to think of it. Understandably, right? Understandably. So I'm going like, God, what's happening here? So this is what I've been going through, y'all. This just actually kind of ended. Not that all the pressure's gone, but that sharp pressure is gone, right? And I'm not sending you this so you feel sorry for me. It has nothing to do with that. It's not like I'm trying to explain to you tonight what this is all about, friend. God has birthed me into a new place with him. I mean, I've been put into a new place with God that I've never been before. I've been rewarded. I'm being rewarded by God. I'm being rewarded by God for what I suffered with him. You see, every time you go through something with God and you stick to your guns, what God's telling you, or to your sword or to your love handles, whatever, and you're sticking to it and you don't budge and you don't compromise and you just keep saying it's going to go to 34 when everybody says, when it's going to go to 33, when nobody says it's going to go 30, and everybody's saying it's not going to go. It's going to go there. It's going to go there. And you just keep doing what God says. In my particular case, it was the market thing. I've had other things, just like you guys have had. But this one came with an amazing amount of pressure before. So guess what, y'all? God is a good businessman. When you take the gift he's giving you and you multiply it and increase it and double it, yeah, I just, by the grace of God, just doubled. It happened twice. I doubled it. And God says, ah, God, I just love the businessman side of God. When I do good, when I don't do good, I don't like it that much. But he says, good job, Chandler. Now I'm going to double you. I'm going to double your trouble. I'm going to reward you. You have done a good job, my servants. Basically, you know, that's what God's saying, right? It's just mind-boggling. It's just amazing. And the encouragement, friend, is when you do what God says with what he's given you, he's going to reward you hefty. I mean, the good side of God's business side is that, man, when he blesses you, he goes like, you are awesome, dude. This is God talking to these people. You are awesome. You doubled it. You multiplied it. You had one and you made two, or you had two and you made it four, or you made it three. You did something. You're awesome. And he says, I'm going to reward you, man. You're awesome. That's the side of God's business side you want to see. Right? We don't want to see the other side, right, where he takes it away from us and gives it to somebody else. That's the side we don't want to see, and believe me, it's very real, and I've experienced it before. Yes, I have experienced it before, and I'll tell you, you do not, just like I didn't, that's after I got into it, I never want that again, and I hope I never get it again. I hope I don't. I pray to God I don't, and I pray to God that you don't. I pray to God that all your failures, all your mistakes, all the times you didn't take it and multiply, all the times you took it and you hit it, whatever you did with it. Some people hide what they have so nobody can know they got it, so they don't have to do anything with it. And they think that they're protecting it, and they don't realize what they're doing is when God shows up, because God watched you hide it, watched me hide it, Randy Chandler hide it, watched me act like I didn't have this, you know, And God goes, Randy, I saw the whole time what you're doing. You took it and you hit it. Like you didn't think anybody's going to see it. See that blessing. See that thing. See that. I'm going like, oh, okay, God. Sorry. Well, thank God we can learn from it. He gives you another chance, right? In this case, he gives us another chance. It's amazing. God is a God who's given us chances. But, friend, he's not going to reward you for or when he tells you to do something and you don't do it. When he told Moses to speak to the rock instead of strike it, when he didn't do what he said in that high-level
pressure, that high level of responsibility, he said, that's it for you, man. That's it for you. We think that God's just going to kind of go, oh, well, no big deal, honey. Everything's fine. You know, when it comes to your salvation and all that, he's the most merciful, kind, gracious, loving shepherd you've ever met in your life, forgiving sin, washing away, helping you, delivering you. But when it comes to the business side of God, friend, it's not like that. You see it in Scripture. It's very plain. We talked about it. And he's dealt that way with me personally. It's painful. It's scary. I talked about it before. It's scary. Makes you weary of, you know, God, help me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Please show me. And you start depending on him. As many of you know, you start depending on him like you've never depended on him before, because you know if you mess this up, it's not about going to hell. It's not about God not loving you. It's about the reward. The reward that God gives you is to take you to the next level. That's the reward, friend. Padding your pockets with a bunch of extra stuff so you can be all fat and happy and all that. I mean, that can be part of it, of course. But it's about the reward system comes in to take you to the next level. It's good job, my faithful, loyal servant. You did what I asked you to do. Now step into the glory realm of double or triple or whatever it is. And that's the kind of God we serve. And if you mess that up, friend, it's okay. Just don't mess it up again. If you do, don't mess it up again after that. And try to get it right. Try to get it right. What's God's mercy in his business side is he will give you another chance. Yeah, he will give you another chance. And that's where in the final moments where there are no more chances. But that is going to come. And it's come upon us, really. So, you know, I tell you this part because I want you to understand this is the way it is. This is what God is saying. And he's full of love and full of God will never change with his love and compassion for us, friend. Never. We fail, we sin, we come short. He goes, oh, the shepherd compassion part of him just oozes and goos all over us. You know, he's revealing Jesus to us and what he died for and what we have. And we get that. And he washes us clean of our sin and our stuff. And he just goes, yeah, come on, you can do it. Yeah, there's that side of God for sure. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. But then there's other, God has many different characteristics about himself. And when he comes to business, he's a real, you know, what some people call a Jew. He's a real Jew in that sense, if you will. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's it, basically. So there you go. So what I wanted to share with you tonight, y'all, was that. You should go back and read that text. If you didn't get that text, I can send it to you. If you want the number to text me, it's 214-505-8719, right? We don't ask you for anything. We never ask you for money. Never ask you for, yeah, okay. So it's just, that's it. Well, I'll send that to you. That's it. And so everybody knows me, knows that's what we do. And so, but I want you to have that. It's kind of a message of letting you know where we are at, where we're at and what's going on. And how that when God gives you something that is against the grain of the world, it's going to come with some pressure. Because you're going against, when you're trying to swim upstream, all right, you're swimming upstream. It's easy to go down the stream. That's a good way to go. Getting in the flow and going down the stream is, I love that. But sometimes God says, okay, Chandler, or whoever you are tonight, you're going to swim against the stream. You're going to be going up against, and that pressure. But that, even though you're made for it, those salmon that do that, certain seasons, mating seasons, they swim against the tide, man. It's amazing. You ever see those shows where they show that? It's amazing. So they're made for it. But it is you're having to work harder in a sense, if you will. In other words, the pressure is there. Not about nervous so much as pressure. And so in this particular thing, the pressure that I was talking about here that I wasn't used to, and this sharp of pressure, was because of the time and the season we're in, not because I'm getting weak and I've never been a strong person, I mean, as far as intellectually and all that, I don't have it all together. But, you know, God is so good that he speaks to me in spite of myself, right? Yeah, so I'm not talking about, you know, I'm Mr. Strongy over here. It's just that, you know, I've gotten used to this. You learn how to flow in it, and the pressure, it's hard, but it's fun. it's more fun than it is hard, a lot more fun than it is hard. But this one here was just extremely different, and I couldn't figure out why until basically the last few days that I understood what the pressure was going on. And the reason there's so much swimming against upstream, against everything and most everybody, especially the whole world, basically, was because of the time and the seasons that we're in. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to swim against the tide, friend. Some people just learn to get in the flow. They're just, oh, I'm loving this flow. I just get in the river and I go and swim around and have fun. And so the river takes me and I swim with it and it's awesome. And now it's like God saying, okay, turn around and go back upstream. Yes. 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 So get ready for that. And you're going to love it. It's going to be, I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be difficult. I'm not going to tell you that the pressure, you know, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, there's not going to be pressure. Because that's what the pressure does. The pressure is what presses you into that place. If you don't want to go there, believe me, you won't go there. You have to want to go. You have to want to stay with it. And if you fail and you give up and you quit before it happens, before you break through, you just want to enter in. You have to go back and, you know, start over again. Right? So the thing is, don't give up. Don't give in. Right? Ask God to give you grace. That's why I've asked you guys to pray for me lately. I couldn't even explain. I didn't even understand it all. All I knew is that the pressure was like unbearable. And having, you know, I was in a hospital with my family and, you know, some of that stuff was going on all at the same time. And, you know, I haven't even talked about that yet. And so, you know, it was just along with it, you know, that just added to it. And it was some unusual situations, you know, not the norm. And it was extremely difficult. Adding to all the pressure of that, it's just like God set it all up, you know. God set it all up so that I would have the double pressure. Why? Because the double pressure, tremendous double pressure, was to press me into and through, pressing me out of the womb, pressing this word out of the womb, pressing this new, like Jesus at the cross, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under such pressure, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I can kind of understand that a little bit. And because he made it, I made it. Friend, because he made it, you can make it. And if I can make it, anybody can make it. Yeah. You have to become extremely focused. Extremely focused. That's the key. Extremely focused. To the point of being a pain in the neck. Yeah, you're going to be a pain in the neck. You know, I'm sure I've been a pain in the neck here at times. During all this pressure the last few months, I'm sure I've been a little bit extra pressured. I don't know. I can always tell. Maybe you guys can tell me, whatever. But I just let you know, if you did feel a lot of extra pressure going on around here, that's what it was. And that's what's going on. So I'm kind of explaining several different things to you so you kind of understand, you know, what's really happening and what's really going on. And it is amazing. And I'm not telling you everything there, but I'm telling you, had some family people, friends get sick, loved ones get sick. And it was, you know, taking all my time, and I was the only person that could really do it. And so it was just like, you know, it was a service to God. But the pressure was to all this other stuff, you know. And I'm going like, God, what is going on, man? That's crazy. And little did I realize, through much pressure, through much tribulation, I was entering into the kingdom, you know, and into the spirit realm with God at a whole new. I've graduated, y'all. I made it. It went twice, and I never gave up, never gave in. No matter how much people tried to say, you know, it's not going to do it, everybody says it's going to go down, you know, I never gave in. By the grace of God and because of your prayers, because of your prayers. And I want to thank you. I love you. Thank you. Maybe I couldn't explain it all. Maybe now you catch a little bit more of the full picture, or not the full picture, but a lot of the picture of what was actually happening and why. So thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kind, loving prayers and praying for me, and sometimes probably rebuking me under your breath. That's okay, too. I probably need it. Yeah, it's all right. And so thank you for that. And I finished out the little note there. Thanks for your patience and passion and love prayers. I call it love prayers. Love, Randy. And I really meant that with all my heart. So in the near future, I'm going to let you know what the double word is.
We're gonna talk about that, the double word more, which is part of the word, like three sentences above that, sentences up above that. I talk about a double word, and we're gonna talk about that. It's gonna be amazing, it's gonna be awesome, and all this stuff is just ushering us into the kingdom in a whole new way. When I say that, a whole new anointing, callings, and people, things that people have dreamed of doing and walking in, this pressure is going to take you there. It's going to take you there. Yeah, it's going to take you there. Even though you got to swim upstream, it's taking us there. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving PGN. Thanks for your blessings, and thanks for all your caring for me and for us here at PGN, all the family at PGN. We really appreciate it very, very much. And I'll tell you more as we go down the line here. And, so. All right. Listen to last night's show and the 100 Fold and some very new things. Please go back and listen to that when you get a chance. And try to listen to the whole thing. It's kind of long, and we talk about a lot of things a lot over and over again, but there's a reason for that. So if you can get in there and listen to it maybe a few times and just grasp it, get a hold of it. This is where we're going, friend. This is what this breaking through this with this pressure is, where it's taking us into this glorious place of 100-fold. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about money. Money's just, part of it, yeah. But I'm talking about your spiritual life and your emotional life, your mental life, and your life with God in the physical realm. Hallelujah. All right. Let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. All right. Let's take our caller, 912-318. Who am I talking to the phone, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robert and Sandra, Georgia.
This is Robert and Sandra?
Yes.
Oh, good to have you guys.
How you
okay.
doing,
Randy? Thank you so much. Doing good, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that the first is going to be last and the last going to be first. God, I thank you, Lord, that I don't know what all that means exactly with them, but the first shall be last and the last shall be first, God. That many of this, we're in a season of being, being the last generation, if you will. I mean, it sounds crazy. I know it sounds way out there, and it's been hard for me to talk about. Because I've never been we're in the last generation, this is it, until the Lord started showing me stuff, And so but here's the cool thing about this. It's like you guys have been appointed to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. A lot of pressure, but a lot of glory, a lot of anointing, a lot of authority, a lot of power, a lot of victory, a lot of brokenness, a lot of yieldedness. Brokenness, I don't mean brokenness like your life falling apart. Just like what happened with me, and nothing wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong, so to speak. I was in a pressure moment. I've been in these kind of moments many times with the market, many times. But this one here was just completely different, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was not that I did something wrong, broken, but it was just the pressure was breaking me. I was having to try harder to. I didn't know that I was swimming upstream. That's what I didn't know. I really didn't know that. And I didn't understand it. I couldn't figure out why do I feel the sting of the water, if you will, hitting me in the face, And if you've ever been water skiing and you water ski like early in the morning, sometimes it's got a little bit of mist or rain coming in and how it hits you in the face when you're skiing. Oh, man, it's like sharp little things. It's like, that's what I felt. Why is this? I'm usually getting the flow, going down the river, hallelujah. I love going down the river in the flow. But it was like something was like, I'm going, like I've made a 180-degree turn, like I'm going right up the river, but I didn't know it. I just didn't know it. And so little did I realize that God was taking me to a place that, a new place that I've never been before. And thank God for his love and his giving me the strength to obey him, Robert. It wasn't easy. It wasn't like, it wasn't because the word was so hard. I'm used to that, but it was like the pressure that came with this one was like,
you know, I don't know what it's like for women, but some women have babies and the thing just pops right out, you know, after a little bit of pain. I've known women here on the show that have had babies, and they said they never had 1 ounce of pain, not one. I think Cynthia's, one of our friends Cynthia's daughter had that. And so, isn't that cool? But sometimes people, you know, like that. Some people, it's like, you know, hours and hours. I've literally seen people sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and literally the next day they had no pimple. They had no freckles. And all of a sudden the next day it's like, you got a bunch of freckles now. No, those blood vessels were just like, you know, almost popping. So sometimes it's that way for some people. That's what it was happening with me. It's like, man, I've gotten used to this thing. It doesn't, maybe just pop out. The word pops out. A little bit of pain, maybe, not much, but boom, boom, boom. This one, like, ah, let's go, ah! You know, it's all this pressure. It's like, you know, dear God. So I think that maybe this will help you guys understand some things you've been going through, to know that with all this pressure, though, sometimes that makes no sense whatsoever. And it's not supposed to make any sense. If we understood it all, we wouldn't be suffering as much, if you will. The pressure wouldn't be as bad, but we don't understand it, so it's kind of like, wow, the pressure is unbelievable. And we're just crying out to God, help me, Jesus. I don't even know if I can talk about this, because I might start crying or something. I'm going to hold my tears back, and I'm just going to keep going on with my ministry, my job, my stuff, doing my thing. And nobody even really knew it, you know, as far as I know. And so it's like, so now I'm telling them, they're going like, oh my God, you were really going through all that. Yeah. And it was like really rough, you know, but I'm not crying yet. I'm just saying it was, and God brought me through it. And now I'm being rewarded. You guys are entering into a reward place with God, you know, and sometimes it's things that seem like failure, Robert, are not really failure with God. But the seeming failure of things is used to break us, not break us to tear us apart, but to break us so that we could get the very thing we're dreaming of. We pray for God to bless us, but then we don't know that that's going to come with some amazing pressure and maybe losing and maybe not winning and maybe, you know, failing and maybe just seeming like it. And bringing to that place of preparing you for the glory that is to come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessing them, God, for the glory that is to come, Jesus, so they can handle it. Because the pressure is what trains you for handling the glory. Yeah. Pressure is what trains you and prepares you to handle the weight of his glory, Sandra and Robert, in Jesus. Hallelujah. Leko ba leho manaya. Eko shawa. Some people go, why are you going through so much pressure? Why am I going through so much pressure? Because get ready, because you are going to be redeemed by the glory that weighs upon you, that's heavy, the heavy glory of God. Hallelujah. Where it won't crush you. You'll be able to stand under it because God's strength has become so powerful in your weakness. Woo! You won't get greedy when you start getting blessed. You'll be more generous than ever, right? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like in the lost zone tonight. I'm lost. 240-643. You want to talk to me, Trump, please?
Hey, how you doing, Randy? This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
Hey, you guys. All right. Very nice to have you. Thank you. And what a great time I had talking with you the other night, Daryl Paul. That was so cool. I don't know why. I just felt blessed when I got off. You know, that was a blessing. Woo! I feel a blessing. You know, there's something about your voice. I don't know what that is, but, you know, sometimes God puts, you know, vibrations in things, and those vibrations in our that come through God tuning. You know, when God tunes you up, the vibrations of a string when you play a guitar, you know, it went from going thing, thing, to thing, thing, thing. I'm going to do a new thing, a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. Going to do a new thing, 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 thing. And so it went from going thun thun to ding 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 because it got tuned up, and the vibrations of that string create a sound, and God's doing that in your voice because He's doing it in your heart, my brother. Hallelujah! He's tuning you up. It's not that you don't have the strings. It's not that you don't have the guitar. You have the guitar. You have the vessel. You have the, you know, the creation of that. But God's tuning you up. So the vibrations of your voice can sing a song or hallelujah. Because the vibrations of our voice, here's what happens. You know, the more authority you walk in Christ Jesus, what happens is the more finely you're tuned. When you're perfectly tuned according to God, not according. Men can tune a guitar and go, yeah, man, that's perfect. God goes, man, it needs a little bit more. And God gets a hold of it, and He starts, you know, whatever He does is like. And so as soon as you strum that thing, the authority of it, because it's so more fine-tuned, it's more in tune with God. It's in tune, A, B, C, D. You know, it's each string plays a different chord, and if you will. And when it's finely tuned, the vibrations are so much more powerful. When it's perfectly tuned, just perfect, ding, 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 ding. There's that. When it gets that perfect pitch, it's like the vibrations that come with that perfect pitch are powerful because they penetrate things that the other boom, boom, boom couldn't penetrate. And then they go, ding, 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 ding. And that perfect pitch with God, hallelujah, the penetration power in Jesus' name is amazing. So God is tuning you up, man. Tuning you up. Yeah, tuning me up. I'm getting tuned up too. I was already fairly tuned up, but it's like He's going like, you know, when God tunes, His ear is a lot better than any human being's ear. What people go, my goodness, that is amazing. What an amazing sound of that string and that guitar. Oh, how do you do that? And then when God gets a hold of it, it's like going, they're just like going, it blows their mind, going, oh my God, what is that? It's amazing. It's an amazing sounds of grace flowing through your voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for the sounds of heaven, Father, how she declares the heavenly realm coming down to earth. And all the different information, all the different words, all the different things, the heavenly sounds. Like you guys are going to be making a sound together. The sound to be found. The sound to be found. Woo, the sound to be found. What does that mean? Don't ask me. I'm just a messenger boy. The sound to be found. It's like when you make a sound that's from God, God can be found. There you go. There it is right there. Isn't that amazing? When you make a sound from God, that's a found sound. He can be found. He can be found. When God tunes you, renews you, engrafts His word into your soul, and He high tunes you. There's the high callings of God. Hey. The found sound, it's a found sound. So God can be found. Hallelujah. In the secret places He's hidden. Hallelujah. And He's you when the sound is made, that sound causes people to find Him. Hallelujah. Isha kwapa and had to be found of Him. It's a found sound. It's like God is found, and God founds us. He finds us. It's like where people can be found by the sound that come from the voice of those who have been high-tuned in high places. Hallelujah, and refined by God Almighty. The found sound. Man, that is awesome. I've never heard that in my life. The found sound? Wow. Unbelievable. But God, y'all, I mean, that's mind-blowing. Found sound. Well, you know, when the found sound, like finding each other, like y'all found each other, the found sound is like, you know, you'll be able to find, seeking you shall find the found sound, you know, found, I found this, seeking you shall find, knocking you shall be open. Yeah. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to from, please?
Enrica and Chris.
All right, Enrica and Chris, thank you. All right, our first three callers are, you know, a man and a woman, a man and a woman, and another man and another woman. Wow, that's cool. I love it. Ooh, hallelujah, God. What are you doing? The marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have lamb. When you eat lamb, ooh, what happens to you? Well, whoa, 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 whoa. What happens to you? Whoa, whoa, whoa. You enter into that whoa. That whoa. Oh, what's God mean to you? Well, He's my Savior. He's my Lord. You know, I love Him. Oh, okay. Awesome. That's what does He mean to you, man, Enrica? Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa. 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 Yeah. Is that all you can say, man? Well, so, yeah, you don't understand, sir. I said, whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. My Lord and my God, thank you, God, that you are the awe, God, to Enrica, the woe, the awe, the woe, the woe, awe, awa, awa, oh, awa. There's awe and woe somehow mixed together. I don't have that. I've never heard that before. The awa. The woe. Awa. Yiko Mahawe. Ishimaha, the awe of God. Thank you, Lord, that when people, I hope when people ask Randy Chandler, what's God to you? I hope I go, ooh-ah, wow. That's why they're going like, man, you just sound like God. It's just wow. I say, yeah, so, yeah, it's a good word. Wow. Whoa-ah. God is amazing. And thank you, Lord, for that wow, that awah. In her, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Chris, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're downloading your heart, you're downloading. Sometimes God downloads his heart, Chris. It pushes out things in our heart. It heals them and pushes them out at the same time and gives us a new burden, the burdens that we've carried about our, you know, shortcomings, which we all have, our failures, our mistakes, our wish we'd have done that, wish we hadn't done that, and glad I did that, you know, to a whole new burden. Like God's giving you, your heart, a whole new burden, a whole new burden, a whole new burden. Burden is not a bad thing. A burden is like the God who gave the prophets a burden, a word. And with that word, they served God with that word. They didn't care about anything else. They served God with that word. They focused on the word. They focused on the burden. They focused on the calling. They didn't lose sight by all the storms raging around them. Focused on the word, the burden, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Give him the understanding, Father, that all the storms are to distract us and get us away from walking in the miracle realm power of God. That's what they're all for. That's what the enemy, that's what the storms of life do. The storms of the enemy are there to get us to hide, to run, to hang on to the boat. And God says, I'm calling you to step out from the water and focus on me, saith the Lord. And the burden that I put in you is what will cause that to happen. The words I put in you, the God vision I put in you, you must focus on that and that alone and nothing else beside that. Because everything else will come and try to tell you that's not going to happen, that's not going to work, it's not going to be. And the Lord says, call him a liar. Get behind me, Satan. No, I will only obey my Father. My Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 402-650. You want to talk to the phone, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha with Melissa and our roommate, Matt.
And your roommate who?
Matt.
Matt, okay. All right, thank you very much. All right, John, Melissa, and Matt. Now we got three. Now we got a man, a woman, and Matt. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Matt, God. We thank you for Matt, God. We thank you, Lord, for that God doesn't want you to be a mat that people step on. He wants you to be a mat that people can walk on, not step on like, yeah, step on you like you're some dirty, you're some mat that they wipe their dirty feet on, but you are a mat that they can walk on. They can be like a bridge. God's calling you to be like a bridge that people can bridge over to something new, bridge over into something great, bridge over into something that they've never been into before, because when they walk with you, they think they're walking on you, but they're walking on you like you're a bridge, and a bridge being walked on is a great thing. It's a glory thing. It's a purpose thing. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for transitioning his mind, his heart, and understanding, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo! All right, and Melissa tonight. God, we thank you for Melissa tonight. Melissa the Splissa. Splissa, like, I see you, like, rightly dividing, splitter, like, splitting things down the middle, like, rightly dividing things, and rightly dividing the word of truth. And God giving you the understanding to rightly divide the word of truth, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes things aren't clear, and I think God's wants to make his word clear to you, because he can show you what he says, not what tradition says, not what my mama said, my daddy said, my husband said, my friend said, my pastor said, but what God says to me. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Melissa, in Jesus' name, that she will rightly divide the word of truth, where she will understand it. She will know that this means this and that means that and nothing in between. Yeah, she will know precisely, specifically, God, in Jesus' name, the spirit of revelation that Paul prayed for the whole church, the church of Jesus Christ, the born-again believers, that they would have wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, revelation. Amen. For John, God, I thank you for John, God, for being able to be the referee in the sense that, you know, calling the game. When something's out of bounds or, you know, they catch the ball, football, and they got one foot in and the other foot's not in, he says, no, you're out, you know, like in baseball, you know, like, you know, when somebody, you know, beats the ball to first base and the ball comes after, they it might be a close call, but he has an eye for it. He goes, nope, you're safe, he's in, you know. And God being able to give you an eye to call things, to referee things, say that's in, that's out, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth, on heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. It's like, that's in, that's out. God's showing him what can function here and what can't function here. What can be here and what can't be there. What's in and what's out. Amen. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that referee thing you've given my brother. Referees, without referees, bring order. Referees, going. They referee. I don't know exactly what referees do as far as, you know, actually coming out and saying it, but yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, here you go. All right, let's pray for John right now. Mark, Deborah and Mark just fell over
he passed out and cut his head. They're headed to the hospital. Now, I just now saw this. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for helping him, God. In Jesus' name, open it up, God, and bless them and protect them and keep them, God, and let them be blessed and let everything work out well, Father. Let them work on him and help him, God, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, to bless and heal and touch and comfort in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Amen. Protection, God, grace, mercy, compassion. Amen. Wow, I just got that text just now. It kind of came in. All right, let's go here. Okay, give me a second. Give me a minute here. Okay. I think I just restored one of our alerts messages there. I didn't know it was gone. Sorry about that. All right, got it. I think that's Valerie, what it was. Thank you, Valerie, for asking for the note. Amen. All right. Okay, I think I finished praying over John and Melissa. Did I get to praying for John? I got that emergency note right in the middle of praying for John. Thank you, Lord, for John, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that referee word. Yeah, I can look up the word referee. I didn't do it, but you might look it up and see kind of like a position God's put you in. Have fun with that one. All right, 305-200, who am I talking to, return, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Oh, hey. All right, you guys, good to have you tonight. All right, Donald and Tanya, thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies, God, for your love, for your dwelling presence, God, in Jesus' name, that your dwelling presence, that your presence dwells with them, God, that you're going to double them, you're going to increase them, you're going to multiply them, Father. Hallelujah, God, that they are like Abraham and Sarah in the sense that they can only bear the fruit of God, that vision, that purpose of God at the right time, at the right place, God. And I think that time, that season has come, that they, like the angel coming and showing, you shall have a child. And I know y'all want to get three boys, that thing. But you shall have a son. His name shall be called Isaac type thing. Like that time to bear forth fruit in Jesus' name is upon you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for Donald and Tanya, Father. I thank you for opening them up to that, for all the work you've done in preparing them and prepping them and strengthening them and giving them your word and giving them your revelation, God, and even the hard times they've gone through, God, all this stuff. Lord, we just give you glory for all that they are hung up on you, they're stuck on you, they're in you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that every bit of weakness, all that, has worked for your glory, for your purposes, God, in Jesus' name. That, like I said, when I am weak, God is strong. And in my weakness, he is strengthened. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the great pressure that we go through, the tremendous pressure, the pressures like what I've been going through since about the middle of May. Has just been amazing, mind-boggling. But with things that normally, wouldn't be that much, but it's like it was a special moment with special pressure, with special purpose, and it's like the special movement, the special time, special miracles through the hands of Paul, special miracle, like he's birthing that in you, that moment, that time, that's special in Jesus' name, because it's a special time, and it's a time like we've never had in the earth before. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be suffering. We got to be used to suffering and not fall apart. We've got to be used to seeing what it's like and knowing what it's like to feel like your whole life's falling apart. And yet, believe in God like Abraham did and Sarah for that Isaac. And even though they kind of messed up a little bit, like we all do sometimes, they try to have a child, try to make it come to pass. Because they didn't know what else to do. It's like, if we don't have it now, we're not going to ever have it. If we're going to run out of
you know, eggs and sperm. It's like, I don't have any more of that stuff. You know, so they had run out of it, actually, and they got a maiden. And thank the Lord Jesus for your grace and your mercy, God, that even though that all that stuff happened, they were an example of what goes on with us sometimes under the pressure we make decisions. And I thank you, Lord, that their decisions are godly decisions, they're blessed decisions, that they're favored decisions. That God, you're going to bring forth that promised child. Even though Sarah and Abraham made that mistake, you know, you just look right over that and said, I'm going to bless them. I have called you to bless you. Nothing can change that. And thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name in their life, that they will see that and know that and understand that. Amen. Let it be done. All right, 321-230. Who want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, this is Anselise.
It's who?
Anselise, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm sorry. I had turned you down. Okay, tell me one more time.
Anselise. I don't have an easy name to pronounce.
Why don't you spell it for me? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, it's O N
A L E S T.
Oh, so it is an unusual name. I thought I was just like here. Okay.
Yeah.
Pronounce it for me one more time. Yeah.
Anselise.
Ah, now I got it. I thought I was hearing things. Great. Thank
okay.
you. That was beautiful. Anselise. Thank you so much, Anselise. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to mute you. Anselise, Lord, thank you for Anselise tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the favor you've given her to know you, to all the suppression, all the oppression, all the things that try to oppress her, God, and come against her, God, you're using to show your favor toward her, that you're going to show her that, you know, when my people love me and I will draw them, when they draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to them. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for all the pressure, all the things she's gone through, God, that you're drawing her near to you, Jesus. Anselise, you're drawing her near to you, God, and where she can know that you are with her in her valleys. God, we can know you're with us in our high places, but are you with us in our valleys? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's all different kind of shadows of death. Shadows of death isn't just physical death. It's, you know, am I going to lose this? Is this going to fall apart? Am I going to make it? Am I good enough? Am I all this? We go through these valleys of the shadows of death. And I thank you, Lord, for that and blessing her, God, and letting her see that, you know, you have chosen her when she's afflicted. You chose those afflictions to show her parts of you that she's never seen before. And I thank you, God, that she has a heart to be like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if my God doesn't deliver me, I will not bow. And I thank you, Lord, that you put that in her. You're putting it in it. You're training her. You're showing her. You're releasing her. You're opening her up to, I will not bow no matter what. I will not bow. I will not bow. I only bow to God. I only bow to God. I only bow to God. I'm a worshiper. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bow to God. In Jesus' name, when I worship God, we worship him with all of our heart, all of our soul. Amen. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow. We will only bow to God. And I thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her to do that in Jesus' name, and she will overcome, and you will reward her. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went through that time, it was a difficult time. But I thank you, Jesus, that you promoted them in that time because they didn't bow. In Jesus' name, that she will not bow, God, only to you, Jesus. Amen. You know, only to you, Lord. And you will bless her, and you will reward her. And you are adding to her life. You're adding to her life, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. 951-966. Can we talk to you, Richard, please?
Hi, this is Regina.
Oh, hey, Regina. Hey, Regina. All right, Regina. Yes, just mercy bells, joy bells, mercy and joy bells. Thank you, Lord, the season of Christmas, God. I thank you, Lord, this season of Christmas, this Christ season, where we focus on him and his gifts and his blessings and who he is and who we are. You're opening up Regina to knowing who she is who she is in you, God, her calling to be a part of this prophetic movement, this prophet movement, God, and God, to you know, swim against the you know, like the salmon do when they swim up to that, they go against the grain, they go against, you've empowered her to go against the grain, God. Everything you've done and trained her to do is to go against the grain. God, when those salmon are swimming up against the flow of the river's going one way, it would be easy. She's chosen to go the other way. She's chosen, God, in this prophet movement, in this season, this time, God, to swim up river, in Jesus' name, to go, and they do that for breeding. They do that for multiplying and increasing, and they do that for different reasons. But I thank you, Jesus, Father, for that putting on a new hat, a new season in her life, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You called her, God. You called her this prophetic. She's made for this, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you showed her how to suffer the right way, how to suffer the sufferings that she's gone through. And everything, God, in Jesus' name, has prepared her for this season, for this time, God. And she will look back at it and go, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. Amen. What people meant for evil, even. I'm kind of rephrasing what Joseph said. He actually says what his brothers meant for evil, God meant it for good. That God, that she will literally say what my brothers, what my people meant for evil, God, you meant it for good. You meant it for good, and I will forgive them, I will bless them, and I will rule over them, you know, in Jesus' name. They will bow down. They will honor me. They will honor me for what God has done in my life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For your glory, God, in Jesus' name. For your glory, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 202-722. Can I talk to your son, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nicole from D.C. I think maybe you missed me earlier, so I'm circling back.
Oh, thank you. Well, when Daryl Paul called in, he always mentioned you, and so I prayed over you then. But you know, I think we're kind of talking about double night tonight, so let's just do a double. You know, how does that sound?
Amen. That'd be awesome. Thank you. I didn't realize it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, look at this. I mean, this is amazing. As you're saying this to me, and I'm getting the word double to you, right? I'm looking at your phone number, and you know what your phone number is, right? Look at the double
right.
In that. 202, that's double, and then 722, that's four doubles. And I just thought about that right now as I'm looking at your phone number. And of course, I don't want to say the rest of it because we don't give the whole number out. But look at that. So this happening to you tonight, it kind of reminds me of what happened with Mike Huckabee when we prayed for Mike Huckabee years ago, that we prayed for him twice. You know, I don't know why that's coming to me right now, but we prayed for him. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but we prayed for him once without Janet. Janet is a lady who invited me to that meeting. They called it Value Voters Debate. And, you know, and so after the debate was over, because I forgot to bring the oil, we couldn't get to do it right then. So we went to the restaurant, and at the first restaurant we went to, you know, Mike Huckabee showed up, right, without anybody. He just kind of showed up with his campaign crew. And my friend I was with stood up and said, hey, Mike Huckabee, you know, come on. And so Mike jumped up and walked over there and talked to us. And they said, this is Randy Chandler. He knew who I was because Janet had given him my name because we were supposed to pour oil on his head, right? So he says, this is Randy Chandler. And he goes, oh, this is Randy? He was like, he was shocked, you know. So I prayed for him once and said he's going to shepherd our nation. And so he goes and sits back down, and we finish our meal. And then we go to the motel, which is right next door. And as I'm going through the motel lobby, we're going to our room, right, because we did it. We prayed for Huckabee. Janet wasn't anywhere around. I don't know where she was. And so what happened, Janet comes running up to me. She says, Randy, I want to get some oil. So she goes to the salad bar and gets a big bottle of oil, of olive oil, and he says, "Meet." He's right out there. We're gonna meet right out there, in this little area outside. You know, I said, okay. She didn't even know we'd already prayed for him, right? I don't guess. I said, okay. So we went out there, and she said, "This is Randy Chandler," and I said, "Hi, Mac Huckabee or something." I said his name wrong, and so we prayed for him again, and declared he's going to shepherd our nation, all that. So that's what went through my mind, just like that, when I, you know, heard you. I thought you were going to give me some, you know, say something after I called your number again, because I talked to, you know, Daryl Paul earlier, that you were going to say something fresh. Like, oh, you know, can you pray from something else? You know, I thought that's what you were doing that for. And since you didn't know that, instantly I thought about your numbers, double, we pray. And then the Lord said, just like you pray for Mike Huckabee. I don't know. I have a clue what it means. But anyway, there you go.
Amen.
All right. Let's do it. All right. Thank you. All right. You know, Wednesdays we don't do much communicating, but I just felt like I needed to tell you that. So there's something about that, the bearing fruit. And he said, Nicole, from that night, he says in his book called, Mike Huckabee's book called Doing the Right Thing, I think it's called Do the Right Thing. In his book there, he talks about that very experience I just told you about. He said, he didn't mention my name. He mentioned Janet. But I'm the guy who actually poured oil over his head, and they took pictures of it, right, and all that. And so at that moment, you know, and I'm kind of going back to this double thing where, you know, we pray for him once, and then we pray for him again. And this time we literally poured oil on his head instead of, I was going to anoint him with butter because that's the only thing that was on my table time. And I literally was going to put my fingers on the butter and put that on his head. But I thought, well, he didn't even know me. So I didn't do it. You know, I'm not sure why. But so over there we poured oil on his head from the salad bar, right? Actual olive oil from the salad bar. And he said, here's the double thing. He said that from that day forward, that the fear that he had when he was in, you know, literally on that debate of, you know, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to make it. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, I'm stepping out, but it's like, you know, and he was the last. He was a guy on the far left-hand corner. The big guy in the middle was Brownback, who was the congressman that some other prophet, Cindy Jacobs, said was going to be the guy. And, of course, you know, I knew that, but God didn't choose him. God chose Huckabee, you know, the guy on the far left-hand side who nobody thought would do anything, literally. And he says, from that day on, we poured oil on him twice, prayed for him twice. Well, he didn't say twice in the thing, but in the book he says, when they prayed for me, poured oil on his head, he didn't say that part because he didn't want to sound like they anointed me and I'm going to be the man of God. He just tried to be humble, you know. And literally, he said, the fear broke off him. And this is all in the book, and it says, as soon as that happened to him, that's when what the world called, all the news called the Huck-a-boom, where he took off like a boom from that. So thank you, Jesus, for that anointing on Nicole, God. We thank you, Jesus, for this double prayer tonight over her. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, now some of you guys don't have your hand up. I don't know if you don't know it, but let me call your number here. All right, 204-222.
She said, yeah, everyone that PC knew what I was going through. They knew when he died, but she never.
Right, I don't know who that was. 204. All right, I don't know if you guys don't have your hand up for a reason. I don't know if you think you have your hand up, but. 240-222, you don't have your hand up. That may be Daryl Paul. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But, all right. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. All right, 214-434. Y'all hang on a second here. All right. I don't know what's going on with our studio tonight, but it's messed up, so I'm not sure what's going on with this. Because y'all's hands are not showing up on here. I see. Yeah. Okay, you had 9.0 2 ago. Okay. Okay. Hang on a second, here we go. Okay, y'all give me just a minute here. Something's messed up with the switchboard. Because I hear a lot of people say they got their hand up, and I don't even see them. Y'all, if y'all are hearing me, Angela Lanham, she has her hand up, and I do not see her number anywhere. So hang on a second here. Hang on a second. I'm sending y'all text of okay, but I don't see your phone. Give me a minute. I'm going to fix something. Y'all, give me just a minute. I'm going to see if I can fix something here. Sorry. My switchboard must be messed up because I'm not seeing any of those hands up. You might want to. Should we call back in? I'm not sure. Okay, because I do not see any of these. And it's been up. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, y'all. Y'all gonna give me just a minute, okay? Yeah, give me just a minute here. Okay, you call back in. Thank you, Cynthia. I don't know. It's really weird. Sometimes it does this. Sometimes the switchboard messes up. I think it's just messed up. Okay, just give me a minute here, y'all. I'm trying to check in here. Thanks for letting me know. I would have never known. Okay. All right. I think I got it fixed. All right, y'all hang on. Let's see. I don't know if I got a fix or not. It's really weird. Some of you who are texting me, I do not see you on here. So what I'm going to do, since I can't see you, I'm going to prophesy over you according to your text. Okay? Okay. All right, Chris from Texas, do you hear me? Can you hear me? Are you on there? Chris from Texas, are you there? Okay, I do not see you on the switchboard, but I'm going to pray for you. And then if you text me tonight saying have I overlooked you or something? Is something wrong with the switchboard so it's not showing up properly that I can see? So we're going to pray over you. So text me, let me know that you're there, and I will prophesy over you. So, okay, thank you, Lord, for Chris tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for the sorrow that he goes through, God, that the sorrow that he goes through, God, that is godly sorrow, and godly sorrow brings change. You know, some people think godly sorrow is like you did something wrong. You know, you're in sin or something, and godly sorrow is to turn you around. But godly sorrow is much bigger than that, much broader than that. It's godly sorrow is showing us you know, like when you're being tested in school and you're in the, you know, you're trying to graduate high school and you're a senior and you got some hard problems before you and the teacher is something you're having a hard time, like chemistry or something, and you're having a hard time doing it. And the teacher goes, you know, okay, so no, you're still messing that up, Chris. You're passing on everything, but you got to have this chemistry thing to pass. So what it hits you, godly sorrow hits you, like, why can't I get this? Why can't I learn this? And that godly sorrow brings you to a point where your heart connects to God in a weakness thing. But Paul says, when I am weak, then am I made strong. And I see you coming to a place of what is called godly sorrow, or when I am weak, he is strong. And so Paul, through the stuff he went through, the godly sorrow thing was like, you know, he wasn't passing that particular test, you know, the chemistry test or whatever. So he went into a godly sorrow about it, like, why can't I do this? What's going on? And a godly sorrow came and drew him to the place of connecting to God's grace, where it was something that he was able to overcome and make an A in, if you will, in that chemistry, because somehow God just supernaturally helped him get through it, because he could not learn it on his own. It took the supernatural power of God. It's like with Paul. Paul learned to live by the grace of God. Paul had to learn to live by grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. He was so used to getting everything right. He was so used to being the guy who was under the law, you know, before he came to Christ. And he was a good Pharisee. He wasn't a hypocrite. He was a good man. And he was used to, you know, performing and, you know, and so when he came to God, God said, you're not going to be able to do it that way, Paul. I'm going to teach you by grace. You're going to learn unmerited, undeserved favor. So that godly sorrow I see is like Paul going, I've become weak. So that he may, in fact, he has to be delivered from it three times, right? That's how much it messed with him. And God's going like, I'm going to bring you to the supernatural realm of my grace and by unmerited favor, that even though you can't pass this test on your own, I'm going to bring you through it. I'm going to show you how to depend on unmerited, undeserved favor to pass it and walk into the glory realm with it. All right. All right, Chris, thank you. Hope that made sense. Okay, Cynthia, are you on? Are you listening? Are you able to hear me? Okay, thank you. All right, I don't know where you're at on the switchboard. If you're on there, I don't see you. So we're going to do this way tonight. So sorry for the mess, y'all. I don't know. Oh, there it is right there. Okay, I did see you. 682-806, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, we got you. I don't know. My switch.
Mississippi.
Yes, thank you, Cynthia. All right, thank you so much. All right, and thank you for that. And I guess I might have just gotten fixed, maybe. So I don't know what's going on tonight, y'all. This is a little crazy. So thank you, Jesus, for Cynthia tonight, God. We thank you for that overcoming spirit, that overcoming, breaking the chains of you know, breaking the chains of bondage and breaking into the chains of being in bound to God. Like Paul the Apostle was in prison for God. I'm not saying you're going to be in prison. It's not about prison, because he was in prison for, you know, of course, being a man of God. But he was, the reason he was there was because he was a bondservant. He was chained to God. God chained him, in a sense, to him, so that he would, you know, like I just told Chris before, that he would learn to live off the grace of God. God had to chain Paul, if you will. You know, like in the prison cell, that's what it was, where he had to learn about the grace of God. He had to learn something that was very difficult for him. And so, and because he was chained to God, he was a bondservant. He was bound to God. He was, you know, he was a slave of God. But being a slave of God, he turns our slavery mentality of the world, and being a slave of the world, and being a slave of people, and being a slave of life, and being a slave of things just overwhelming you, not being able to break through it, into a slave of God, which in God, you know, Paul conquered all things. And I thank you, Lord, for that chain that that she went from one chain to another chain, right? Right? We go from chains of brokenness and heartache and trouble and that kind of thing, and just loss into everything we do. We lose for God. When you lose for God, you gain. When you lose in the world, you just lose. But when you lose in God, you gain. So he that loses his life for my sake will gain life. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that thing in her, God, that she when she loses now, it's kind of like she's going, oh, boy, I get excited because I know something good's about to happen. And I just lost this. That got lost. I got a, oh, my God. I when you lose things in Christ, you gain. So I think about their whole mentality of that slave mentality before of when we lose in the world. But when you lose in Christ for his sake, you gain. So we still lose, but we lose for gain. We gain Christ. We gain victory. We gain favor. And I thank you, Lord, for that mentality, God, in her, God, training her, teaching her, showing her how to walk in that place of being a slave of God, being a slave of God, being a servant of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. To be victorious, always gaining, always winning in Christ. All right, 704-614, who may I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Carolina.
Oh, hey, Deborah. All right, Deborah, good to have you. All right. Thank you for being with us. This is Deborah? All right. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for her life, God, for her passion, God, that you've given her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that place to where she is, her calling and election is that it's not like that because men elect us, like we run for office. The way we run for office around here is we just obey God. Right? We got called to an office and we take off running. That's how we run with our office. It's different than a political ring. So I thank you, Lord, that her election, her calling, her election, God, in Jesus' name, to be made sure. May make sure that my calling election is made sure, God, that you're making her sure in everything. You're like we did with Moses. You know, when Moses knew he was called to be, you know, a deliverer, but you know, he made some moves trying to fulfill his passion of his heart, and that was to deliver people, and he killed an Egyptian. So he was out of there, man. He was off in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, and yet his calling election wasn't sure. That time he wasn't sure. Okay, I thought I was supposed to do that, but I guess I'm not sure that I'm supposed to do that. So he goes out into the wilderness for 40 years, and God begins to work on him. And then finally one day, when he was ready, God said, I'm going to make your calling election sure. So he runs across this bush, burning and not being consumed, and God starts talking to him. And he says, Moses, like Deborah. He goes, oh, what? You know, God. And even though Moses struggled and he said, I can't speak and I can't do anything, you know, he said, throw your rod down, you know. I'm going to make your calling, your election sure. Yeah, you know you're called, you know, but you got all messed up. And he said, well, man, am I really called to deliver people? Maybe I'm supposed to work with sheep. I don't know. And he made Moses' calling and election sure by throwing the rod down, and then he took off running. I love that part. That so reminds me of me. Took off running, and then God says, "Turn, come back, Moses, where are you going? Come back, Deborah, where are you going? Come back and get that rod." He picked up the rod, turned into a rod again. Then he put his hand in his cloak and pulled it out. You know, leprosy, and then he put it back in there and pulled it back out again under God's direction. It was a miracle. It was something that couldn't happen in the natural realm. You don't heal a leprosy. You die from it, you know. So it's like he got healed from it. It's like God was making his calling and election sure. Thank you, Lord, for that with Deborah, God, making her calling and election sure, Jesus, that when she knows she's going forth. You know, we all know we're called. We all try to work our ministries. We all work it. We all do work it. We all go, and I've done this. You go along, and then you start feeling this thing going on like, God, something big is happening. What, am I a part of this? Am I a part of this thing? Is this thing too big for me? And what are you doing? And God says, you know, I'm going to make your calling election sure, drawing you into that place. and in Jesus' name, and making it sure so you will know. Because Moses had to know. Gideon had to know. And he questioned until he found out, you know. No, he didn't play fake it until he made it. He said, nah, you know, listen, can you, and he put out a couple of fleece. God was right there with him saying, yeah, I know you need to know. I'm going to make sure you know. I'm going to make sure you know, making it sure. Thank you, Lord, for that in her life. In Jesus' name, open it up and confirming and blessing in ways she's never had been. We all get, I've been confirmed just recently. When I went through this pressure thing that I just went through the last, since May, with this market thing, not understanding why. I've given contradictive work before that contradicted what everybody said, but it didn't mess with me like this one did. What is going on with this thing? It was crazy. The pressure was unbelievable. Like I'm swimming upstream and, you know, I'm used to getting in the flow and it's easier and, you know, still has pressure to it, but not like this. And God was saying, he was making my calling election. He was testing me. I was like being tested, and thank God I didn't give up. Thank God I didn't, under all the pressure, because this time the pressure was hitting me like, wow, what is so different about this one? And I was being tested, and thank God I didn't bow. I mean, I got a documented fact that I didn't bow at all. And it was only by the grace of God that I didn't bow and wrote it through until it all happened, until the last few days. And it actually came to pass, even more than we thought, a little bit, you know, and even numbered it with 34,200, and it went right at that one day and right above it the next day. It's like it's almost like God told it what to do, and it did it. I mean, that's what it seemed like. Yeah, and it was like a test, and God said, good job, Chandler, good job. So he was bringing me to a new level and making it sure that I understood. Right? And it was an amazing trip. I don't know. I'll do whatever he wants, and you'll do whatever he wants, right? He'll do whatever he wants because, you know, but the pressure's going to come, and when it does, it brings great, great blessing. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that in her life, and she's making it sure in Jesus' name, because when it's sure, the only reason I could swim against that stream like that in this particular way was because God had made himself sure to me in so many different ways, where this one was only successful because of how sure he admitted to me. Amen. Make it sure, God, her calling election sure in this, at this new level. Amen. 803-991. We'll talk to you from
here. Hi, Randy. South Carolina.
All right. Sounds like you're still awake, barely. You made it. You weren't snoring. You weren't giving us that sweet sound of breath. You're awake in Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that. All right. Thank you for that, my sister, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this new thing, God, that you're doing in Jesus' name, that you're all the things you're going to find. Angela's going to find out that a lot of things that she's learned, a lot of things she's gone through, it was all to prepare her and equip her to think certain ways and to go certain ways and to believe God for certain ways, that training her mind how to, you know, think a certain way, be stressed a certain way, be open a certain way, and her passion to learn those things was all for a reason beyond what she could ever dream or even think or imagine. And I thank you, God, that this new place, this new phase, we enter into, like we talked about last night. You were on the show with me last night about the brain and all the stuff we talked about. You know what it was? Prophesying the stuff. You know, you're a part of that. I mean, that's what God's saying. So somehow or another, some way, I don't understand it all. I'm not saying it's going to just be about the brain thing and about the, you know, the minerals and the vitamins and all the stuff, the inventions and all that. It's all wrapped up in that too. But it's this new thing God's doing. Amen. Bringing mankind to a whole new place with God. That's really what it's about. In the natural, in the spiritual, in the physical, in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And God's going to, he's to the whole counsel of God in Jesus' name. Amen. To be used of God in the whole counsel. I mean, we just don't tell people, oh, just pray in Jesus' name, you'll get over it. No. You need to, pray in Jesus' name and ask Jesus and listen to Jesus when he speaks to you about his word. And he tells you to eat something, do something. You better do it because it's going to save your life, because it's not food that saves you. It's the word of the Lord that saves you. that makes the food save you because he saved you because he made it for you. Yeah. In Jesus' name, and connect all that stuff to the whole counsel of God. Amen. All right. All right, 478-233, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Janice from Georgia.
Hi, Janice. All right,
hi.
Janice. Hi, good to have you. All right, obey God, man. Just obey God. Pay the price. I know you have many times, I'm sure. I don't know you, but God says, you say, pay the price. This time when you pay the price, there's going to be reward for it. It's going to be a reward that you're not used to, a reward that you're not. You've not tasted this reward, and the Lord says, you know, sometimes you have to break free of where you've been, and like Moses had to break out of Egypt. What did God do? He set him up. He used his passion to deliver people to he had killed an Egyptian trying to deliver the Israelites, and they didn't appreciate it. Well, who do you think you are? Yeah, I saw you kill that Egyptian. And he thought, oh, my gosh, everybody knows. And he was out. God set that up. All right? God sometimes sets us up in a thing that we're called to do to make us fail so we can go out and he paid the price. He had to leave his family. He had to leave what he believed. He had to leave everything and walk away from it. And he paid a price for that, all because he was doing what he thought was right. And God even used what he thought was right to be what was right, and yet it was wrong. And so he used the right, wrong thing to get into the right place. Amen. To right the wrong. Right. Oh, that's amazing. He did the right thing. He did it. He did the right thing the wrong way. And so God could get him out in the wilderness so he could make the wrong right in Egypt, making the wrong right. What Pharaoh was doing, what the Egyptians were doing to the system was doing to Israel, God was calling Moses to make that wrong right, to right the wrong. In other words, to go deliver the people. But he had to go through that thing, that process, that situation that even God set up for what seemingly looked like failure. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, to make the right wrong. He did the wrong thing. He did the right. He had the right desire. He did the wrong thing. And then God got him out of there so he could turn around and make the wrong right, the oppression of Egypt that was being done wrong to God's people to make it right, to deliver them from it. Amen. God has an unusual way of getting his way. It's amazing. All right, 214. Hang on a second. 214-646, can we talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Tance and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. Maybe your number was, I don't know. Maybe that number's been there the whole time. I don't know what's happened. I think maybe I just figured y'all's number 972. I think I've got UCL's 972 number. Maybe you were there the whole time. I don't know what's happened, and it's been weird. All right. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha, hallelujah. Bakero, Bakari, Bakeri, Bokora, Bakeri, Bokori, Bakeri, Makari, Makori, Manana, Makara, Bakara, Bokora, Bakeri, 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 Bokora, Bakora, Bakora. The carryover. I want to say the carryover. The carryover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's going to let you carry over. You're going to be carrying over. You're going to carry. You're going to. There's different ways we're going to look at carryover, it looks like. And carryover is like you're going to be carrying people over. You're going to have them like, you know, the burden, like having them in a cart, and you're pulling the cart like a horse pulls a cart. Like you're carrying them across because they can't walk or because they can't function, because they don't know how, because they're helpless and they're hopeless. They don't know how to do anything. They're just like, you know, like a shepherd, they have to be led. I thank you, Lord, that you use that call of God to carry them over, God, carry them over the bridge, to carry them over the crossing point where they can cross over in Jesus' name, where they don't know how to do themselves, God, like a shepherd takes a lamb and breaks it. Sometimes they had to break his leg to carry it over, you know, and so it depends on how rebellious that they are, but whole thing about whatever it takes to carry them over, to get them to the breakthrough, to get them to the other side. Thank you, Jesus, because she understands, God, what it's like to be in that place of being stuck and being helpless and being hopeless and feeling like, oh, God, who's going to carry me over this thing? You're going to have to carry me over this thing. And sometimes Jesus does it. He carries us over because we can't do it ourselves. And it's that thing of, like, it took me a long time to let God carry me. I just said, God, I don't really know need you to carry me. I can walk with you. I'm tough. I'm strong. We can walk through this together. Walk hand in hand. I've talked about that many times on the show. How God had to, he said, yeah, you're going to go through something that you can't change. You can't do anything. You can't be strong enough. You're going to have to let me carry you. I'm going like, what? No way. I'm strong. We'll do this. We'll hold hands and walk through this thing together. And Lord said that one set of footprints. I said, Lord, I don't even need that. You know, we'll walk together. And the Lord said, you don't understand, Randy. I'm doing something in you. Hallelujah. And boy, did he ever. And man, he brought some things out that I couldn't control. I couldn't fix. I couldn't do, no matter how hard I tried. And I ended up in his arms carrying me. And I found a new love relationship with God. I already had a love relationship with him, Tanisha. But it's like God, just when he carried me next to his heart, I knew kind of what John felt like when he had his heart on the heartbeat of Jesus. Oh, he carried me, and I thought, man, I wish I had done this a long time ago. It's like when I got saved. When I got saved, I was 20 years old. I said, man, I wish I had done this a long time ago. If I'd have known how great this is, how much love is in this thing, I'd have done it. I just fought like I'm strong, right? I'm a strong-willed person, man. Very strong-willed. And, boy, when he breaks me, it takes a lot, right? So it's sad to say, but that's the way it was. So when he started carrying me, I'm going, man, God, oh, I love this. I love this. And so he taught me how to carry me in my hard times and to carry me when he prospers me. Because many people fail when they start prospering. They don't let God carry them. They try to carry it themselves. And you guys are showing me, you know, I'm going to let you. So there's another part of carrying, like us carrying others, because we know what it's like for him to carry us when we're helpless, when we're hopeless, when we tried it so hard. We stick in there so hard. We're working it. And it's just like not working. God, and he get up in his arms. And man, we go, man, this, I entered into a whole nother fellowship with God. It was amazing. Woo! Man, I can just live up here. I can just live up here. Woo! Jesus, I am weak. Your strong arm carrying me. Wow. It humbled me. It was humbling. But man, the beauty and the glory of being next to the face of God, hearing his heartbeat. Well, I thought I already had all that, and I did in some ways. But man, if you can feel the heartbeat of the pulse, and when you're holding somebody's hand, you can feel that, you know, right there is where when they take your pulse, they put it right there, right near the hand, right near the thumb, right? You can feel his pulse. You can feel his heartbeat in the hand, you know, but it's like this whole different level of a heartbeat of God. I moved into that, and it was just purely the grace of God, because I would have never thought, you know, that I even needed that. That's for weak people. That's for people who can't hang in there and be tough. Like my daddy always told me, what are you doing, boy? You need to toughen up. You're going to get, my uncle is a Marine. Like, you know, you going to get your mama now? He's trying to help grow me up, right? I went and lived with him. He was a Marine. He was a Marine. That's what he was. My mama's sister's husband was a Marine, and I went and lived with him for a while. I was about 19 years old. And I was a mess, and they were trying to help me, you know. What's the matter, boy? You want to go home to your mama now? He's trying to train me, make me grow up and stuff, and I didn't do a very good job of it. That's because God didn't want me to get it until I got saved. He didn't want anybody to save me but him. I'm not going to let nobody save you. No sergeant is going to train you, work you up, make you that. No, I'm going to do it myself. But they tried hard, bless their hearts. They did. and they were sweet, and I'm so thankful for them. But Jesus said, nobody going to train that boy but me, just me. I'm going to work him, and nobody else can work him like I work him. It's going to be awesome. Woo! What's going on tonight? I don't know, but I love it. It's a great show. What's going on? I don't know. It's just a show. All right, hang on a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Thank you. Sorry for that. All right, a lot goes on. A lot goes on. Yeah, I don't know how it goes. A lot. Sometimes a lot goes on. All right, thank you, Jesus, for my brother. Terrence, God, we thank you for my brother. I just called you my brother, right? Yeah. You're not my mother. You're not my father. You're my brother. You're not just, right, I don't know what's going on with that. Like that, you're my brother. Yeah, you're my brother. There you go. It's like what I saw right then when I heard that was like, Terrence is my brother, because it came right out of my mouth, right? My son, not my father, and sure not my mother. Right. And not any of that, but my brother. He's my brother. Like my brother. Like God saying, hey, we're brothers. You know, I'm not your father. You know, I'd love to be your father, but, you know, it's not that I'm not a spiritual father to people, but it's not, the point is that okay, so going on tonight, y'all. Okay. Yes, and so what I'm seeing this thing is you know, he's my brother. It's like, yeah, I'm a father to people, and yeah, I'm a, you know, I'd be a mother to some people. I don't know, but I'm definitely what I'm hearing God say is like, you know, Terrence has moved his, where he said you can call him brother now, not son, not whatever, you know, not cousin, but brother. You're my brother. We're brothers. And Jesus is our brother. And so I see this whole thing going on with being brothers. And, you know, we respect and honor brothers and love one another as brothers. And not as a son and father and son, you know, mother and daughter type things, you know, cousins, but brothers. So thank you, Lord, for this thing that Jesus is our brother. And we thank you, Lord, that we are the brethren of God. We are the brethren. I thank you, Lord, that for this thing in Terrence, God, that he was, you bring him to that place to heaven. We realize that we are brothers on the level of brother, like Jesus was on the level of being God's son, you know, in a sense that he was on that level. They said, how can you're saying you're God's son. How can anybody say they're God's son? But he was. Like how we be on a level of being a brother with a servant of God, with a leader, with whatever thing, in a sense, like God said, he's calling you his brother. You know, like giving you a raise or something, or giving you an upgrade or something. I don't know what that is, but because I'm only the servant boy, that's all I know. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, Lord, for increasing him, God increasing him in wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Christ. And part of that word I gave to, like, Tanisha about, you know, Christ carrying us. You know, to bring us that whole other relationship, God. I thank you, Lord, for that with Terrence, that you see the Lord Jesus as also as a brother. Amen. Even though we know he's Lord and God and Savior and nobody could ever do what Jesus did, he's our brother. He identifies with us as our brothers. And like, I'm so much better than you. I'm your, you know, I'm your whatever. And so, but I'm your brother. I'm your brother. Thank you, Lord, for that brother thing with Terrence, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be a brother to many people in Jesus' name, to be a brother to them. Amen. In Jesus' name, the brotherhood of God, the brotherhood, the hood, in the hood. We're in the hood. We're in the brotherhood. But I hope that's not, you know, that's just what I just give it the way I hear it, right? Like we're in the hood, but it's a whole different kind of hood. It's the neighborhood with the brotherhood. Yeah. And that whole neighborhood is a whole different kind of hood. It's, yeah, uppity, downity. It's everything you want to be, because it's all things to all people. And then we're brothers to those who never think, oh, that person could be my brother. There'll always be this way up there, man, this way up there person. No, no, he's way down there with you. He's your brother. He's your brother. All right. Amen. Thank you so much. All right. 940-210. Who am I talking to from, please?
Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that whole message of Paul the Apostle. He said he's the chiefest among sinners. You know, that Paul was very aware of his weaknesses. He, especially when he got the thorn in the flesh, he became very aware of his weakness, because God made him weak, if you will. But his weakness, he said, in my weakness, I became strong. He learned how to become, to let his weaknesses make him strong instead of his weaknesses make him weak. His weaknesses made him strong, because he opened, even though God knows everything about it, sometimes he wants us to open up to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to share with him. He wants us to be open with him about who we are and what we're doing and our weaknesses and our sins. He knows it all anyway. But sometimes, just because he knows it all, doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to talk to him about it. You know, sometimes I have to say, God, I know you know me through and through, but you know what? I'm having a problem with this thing. Like when I was carrying this thing about the market thing the last few months, I was like going, God, I don't know what's going on here. Something weird, something really heavy, something major's going on. What's happening? And a veil was being rent inside of me. The pressure was renting the veil inside of me at a new level in my life. And I'm going, dear God, wow. You know, and I'm feeling weak, and I'm feeling like, but yet God strengthened me and gave me his power to walk with him through this thing. It's amazing, and brought me through it. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And that weakness that I shared my weakness. I told him everything I felt, told him all my weak feelings, all my weak thoughts, all my stuff. And I sometimes we're afraid to do that because we think we're confessing something wrong or making a wrong confession. But God just loves it when we, like when David, what I love about David is the fact that he shared his weaknesses with God. He would cry out to God, God, where are you when I need you? Have you left me? Have you forsaken me? You know, he just shared the whole thing, man. That's why it's in the Bible. And he would sing songs to him, like trying to, you know, get him to come back if he'd gone, which he hadn't gone. But it's like, then he found out that whether he made his bed in hell, God was there. He made his bed in the rocks and the high mountains, God was there. Wherever he was at, heaven or hell, God was there. And David learned how to fellowship with him and everything, and his weaknesses and his strengths. And God loved that about David. So I thank you, Lord, for my brother, God. He's making him that same way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A man after your heart, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 251-229. Who am I talking to in front, please?
This is Sarah from Alabama.
Oh, hi, Sarah. Okay, thank you. All right. I'm just realizing tonight that some of you guys are still not on my switchboard, so I don't know what's going on with this. I'm going to look back at my text again, and I'm going to look back at my text again, and I'm going to go with the text thing again. So sorry about that, y'all. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. All right, that's Sarah. Thank you, Lord. Then we'll take Kimberly next, and then I think I missed Nikki. I missed Nikki. There's Nikki. Okay. Sorry, I don't know what's going on, y'all. I apologize. I am not doing this. I do not mess up on purpose. I can't see you. Sorry. All right. And all my sorry notes, how sorry I am. I'm sorry. This is going on. It's really weird. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening up. Her life, God, to you, God, you open up her life to you. You open up her life to the points of victory, to the points of failure. It doesn't really matter what it is, God, that you are her Lord, you are her God, and God, there's no one beside you. You know, you are the only one that can bring her in. You're the only one that can bring her out, take her out. You're the only one that can take her through. And Jesus, I thank you that she depended more on you all the time. You're dependent on her. So you can depend on her because she depends on you. And the people that depend on you, God, you can depend on them because they depend on you. That's the only reason you can depend on them, because they're depending on God. They'll do whatever God says no matter what. That you can depend on her, God. You're teaching her how to depend on you so that you will depend on her. Hallelujah. When God tells somebody he's trained to do something, he can depend on them to do it. Yeah, he can depend. I can depend. I know I can depend on Job. I can talk about Job. I know Job will not curse me. I know Job. I know him. You can strip him of everything, do everything, but he's still going to bless me. I know what he's going to do. I can trust him. I thank you, Lord, that you're building that in her, God, and showing her that, open her up to that where not only is she totally trusting you, but that you can trust her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Nikki and Charles, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. All right, Nikki, I hope you're listening. I hope you're able to hear me. I apologize for all this mess, y'all. I don't know what's happened exactly. I thought it was fixed, and then all these other numbers are not on there still. So sorry. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. God, we thank you for Nikki, God. Please pray for destiny. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, for Nikki tonight, God. For God that. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, you're listening. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that place, God, of Nikki, God, touching your glory, and how simple it is, how easy it is, how just really unlaborsome that it is to just touch you, to reach out and touch you, to reach out and trust you, like touching you and trusting you, how easy it is. It's like reaching out and touching, you know, somebody, touch your hand, touch your shoulder, touch them. It's like reach out and touch God and watch him move. And watch him move. Because when you hear two or more agree as touching, as touching something. So it's not about all this heavy duty stuff. It's a, you know, we all go through that and we need to go through all that. God brings us through it. So when we get that place, it's just touching. It's all about, it's not about pushing a car down or the truck down, like the image of pushing a truck down the road so hard and heavy. No, it's just like reaching out and touching someone. Reach out and touch somebody tonight. It's God-y tonight. Touching God-y tonight. Just reach out and touch God-y tonight. Like God, I'm calling God God-y. Don't mess me. All right. God is God-y. What does Gotti mean? I don't even know. It's got to be a positive thing because if it's talking about God, Gotti. Let me look at the Gotti. What is that? I'm not sure. Gotti. How do you spell Gotti? How would you spell God if you were spelling it? G-O-T-T. Gotti, maybe? Oh, there is Gotti. Yeah, that's goody. Something attractive or desirable, especially something tasty or pleasant to eat. That's goody. I think that's like a goody. I'm trying to spell how to spell gaudy. How did you do that? Maybe it's just... Forget these things, man. Don't ask me. Gaudy. Term used when you want someone to listen to this, man. Okay. I think I might have something that's just interesting. I'm going to read that, but okay, so I just googled this, you know, if I could do this stuff, and I don't know what I'm doing half the time, which is shit. And they even say, you spell the word G-O-D-D-I-E, and under the Urban Dictionary, it has G-O-D-D-I-E, never seen it before, and it has in there God, G-O-D, big G-O-D, and then an E, and then a thing, and then an S, and then it says, a term used when you want someone to go these. It is a quick response and has very strong meaning. Now listen to what I just told you about. It's about touching God. Like it says, it's a quick response and has very strong meaning. Agati, whatever that is. It's just it's crazy, but that's what I said. It's like, because I was calling God Gotti, right? I've been going like, what does that mean? That just sounds crazy. And so as I Googled it, it says, it's like G-O-D-I-E-S. G-O, and then that's one word, and then D-I-E-S. It is a quick response and has very strong meaning. So you think about this, what was just being said is that you just reach out and touch somebody. It's quick, easy, but it has strong meaning. In other words, it's powerful. You just reach out and touch me, and it's done. It's not you have to do some heavy, long thing. It's like something quick. Like it's a quick response and has very strong meaning. You have to look that up yourself to find it, but it's really awesome. It's the most unusual thing I've ever seen. Woo! And Gaudi also means godmother. Godmother is a female godparent in the Christian tradition. Godmother may also refer to a female arranged to be legal mother or whatever it is. I'm sure it is. Godmother, a Gaudi. G-O-D-D-I-E, meaning godmother. Interesting. I don't know. That's what I got. Really strange. I've never seen it before. That's so cool, man. I love this stuff. This is crazy. Good stuff. All right. There you go, Mrs. Gaudi. I can't even say it when I'm in the flesh, in the natural. Gaudi. You know, some people say, oh, they're so gaudy. Well, it has to stick on a whole new meaning. It's amazing. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for Destiny tonight, God, pray for Destiny, God. That God, she will have her passion, God, true desires, what she really wants. Sometimes our flesh and our selfish part of us, which we all have, we think that that's really us and it's really not. The part of her that is beautiful, that is glorious, that wants her child to be happy, wants her children to be blessed, wants to be, you know, a grandmother, wants to be a blessing. God, that you nurture that inside of her, God, where she will see that kind of path in her life. Where she will look back and say, you are a good mother. You are a good grandmother. You are a good grandmother. You are a godly mother. You are a godly person. Thank you, Lord, for that in her life in Jesus' name. Bless her with that, God. Bless her with that, God. Bless her with that, God. He so woke on my head. That's her true desire, her true passion, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Charles, thank you, Lord, for Charles, God. Thank you, Lord, for his true desire, God, to be somebody. We all want to be somebody, right? Well, being somebody in the flesh, that's, you know, we know that's not right. But we all have a desire to be somebody. Why do we want to be somebody? Because God has made us to want to be somebody. But we're going to be somebody. We're going to be somebody like God. Like God. We're going to be somebody with God. We're going to be somebody that God goes, man, that guy, he's somebody. I made him into a somebody. Look how great he had to work with me. And he worked with me. I had to do some tough things, change some things, move some things. But he worked with me. That boy worked with me. Charles worked with me. And look at him, man. He's like he's somebody. Like God told, you know, about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son. You listen to him. Right? Because he's somebody. All right? He's somebody in the Lord. He's somebody in one accord. He's somebody, yeah. Oh, yeah, he is somebody. He's got a body. Oh, yeah. No toddy. Don't ask me about any of this. I'm not responsible for any of this stuff. All right, here we go. All right, Kimberly. Okay, Kimberly. Okay. Kimberly, are you listening? Are you still there? All right, because I'm getting you right now, so I'll let you know the timing. It is 11:28 Texas time on the show, if you know how far to go in. 2 hours and 28 minutes. Okay, thank you, Lord, for Kimberly, God, from in Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Kimberly, God. We thank you for letting her be able to be proud. Okay, there. Thank you. You are listening. Okay, thank you. That she let her be proud of who she is and what she's done and what she's doing, God. That she will be proud of it. In other words, proud in the right kind of way. Proud in the kind of way that is godly. Proud in the kind of way that is like You know, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of what I do. You know, I do what I do because I'm I love God, and God loves me, and we have a relationship, and I'm a friend, and I'm, you know, I'm a good neighbor, I'm a good friend, I'm a good lover, I love deeply, I love people, and God, that she will not be ashamed of anything in her life, God. You're raising her up, God, and anointing her with your power. She will have no shame about it. She will have nothing uncovered, nothing naked. Everything will be covered with the glory of God in Jesus' name. For she will walk in glory. She will walk covered and know that God is protecting her. God is watching over her, and God is keeping her and watching her in Jesus' name. Where she will have, she will not walk in shame. She will walk in your glory, God. She will look back and go, man, I take glory and the glory of God. God covered me. He watched over me. He blessed me. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for it, God, because your glory, like Adam and Eve, when they sinned and they try to cover themselves up with the leaves, well, God got animal skin and covered them, right? He had a whole different way to cover them. He had a whole different way to cover them, and so you thank you, Lord, that they were covered with your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going back to the glory covering in Jesus' name with Kimberly and Jesus. For Derek, God, we thank you for Derek. Bless him, God, make him known to the community as a person who does upright things. Make Derek known, God, as a person who does the right thing at the right time, in the right place, in the right season, that he will not miss his seasons. He will know that his season is upon him, and he will flow in that, he will walk in that, and he will take full advantage of his season, because when it's season to plant seed, you got to plant that seed. You got to get there like an old farm boy. You got to get there and plant that seed. Water it, man. Then the harvest time comes, you'll be ready for harvest. You know, each season, you got to be ready for it, full advantage of it. Amen. To get the fullness of everything, he will not miss out. He will not come short, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He will take advantage of every season that he has to do what he needs to do to bring you the glory, God, and to do what's right. Amen. In God's eyes and in his eyes. Amen. All right. Okay. All right, Kayla, I don't know if you're listening, Kayla, or not. 407-669, are you listening? Are you on? Just trying to check and make sure. All right, Kayla. Kayla, I don't know where you're from, Kayla, what state you're from. All right, Kayla, thank you, Lord, for Kayla tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for you healing her heart, God, making her heart strong so that she can take criticism. She can take anything. She can take anything. It won't destroy her. It won't mess her up. She'll just like, yeah, you know, that didn't mess with me. Yeah, I can take criticism. I can take praise. They can praise me and just say, you're a great girl. You got a lot going on. And it doesn't, I don't get arrogant or pompous but I go, yeah, thank you for that. And when they criticize me and knock me down and try to destroy me, that doesn't destroy me either. So it, whatever state I'm in, I can take it because I know who I am. I know what I've been called to do. I know what you've called me to do, God. I'm safe and secure in you, Jesus. What people think of me and what people say about me does not change me, does not move me. It may mess with me for a minute or two, but after that, done. No, I know who I am. I know where I'm going, and I know what God's calling me to do. And as a person, not always about every little detail, but it's about as a person. Who am I as a person? Who am I as a person? I thank you, Lord, that the person of God and the person of Kayla will come together, God, and that she will get to know you as a person, and you will show her who she is as a person. As you personally get to know God, he shows you personally who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that personal thing going on. Okay. All right. I don't know who else. Who else have I not? No, Jeff and Uke, I don't know if y'all are listening or not, but I'm calling using Skype. But it didn't, it's not showing up, at least. I don't see it on here. Jeff and Nick, you guys are on tonight. Yeah. All right, Jeff and Nick, if you're listening right now, I don't know if you're listening or not, but okay, there you are. Yeah, 111 is not, I think my switchboard is messed up tonight, y'all, because 111 is not even showing up on there. There's no 111. So I'm doing this by text tonight, kind of an unusual thing. Some are on there, some are not on there. So there's no 111 on there. So we're doing this kind of like Cheryl from Florida says she's on, okay. We're gonna go down the line here of our text friends. I don't know why it's not taking phone calls, right? But it's not. Messed up. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you, God. We thank you, Lord, for showing them the way to be a success in any kind of situation. Sometimes you have everything you need, all the materials are there, and you put it together and you make it and do it. Sometimes there's nothing there, and you have to believe God. So whatever the situation is, doesn't matter whether there's nothing there or everything's there that you need, that you don't need. God's showing you how to, you know, get it, how to, you know, if everything you have there is needed, you learn how to put it all together and make it happen and make it work. And if there's nothing there that is good for doing what you need to do, you know, God shows you the way to do it. You know, he shows you how to do it. And like Paul the Apostle said, I can be content in having everything and being exalted, and I can, you know, learn how to dwell in the fact that I don't have anything. So it's kind of what I'm saying with that, if that makes sense. It's like, it doesn't matter whether everything's there you need or not. Either way, it's like, oh, we don't have everything we need. Let's drop that. No. Mm-mm. No, God's going to show you how to pray it in, believe it in, make it, create it, do something with it. I don't know what I'm saying, but like, it doesn't matter. If this looks impossible, if this looks like no way, this has never happened here, never going to happen, yeah, get ready, because God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen, right? And other times, you know, everything's there. It just needs to be put together the right way, formed and shaped. And so God's giving you the ability to form and shape things, that apostolic thing, to take things and pioneer things. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for that, for making ways where there seems to be no ways. In other words, it just doesn't make any difference. You can go in there with great confidence, knowing that if everything I need is not there, it doesn't make any difference. You know, it's still going to happen because God said it, that's it. I preached the message. I talked about a message the other, you know, a couple of nights ago, maybe. Monday night, Tuesday night, what is it? Wednesday, yeah. Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Monday. About how that with one person, God can move with one person. You know, yeah, we need people, and yeah, we need agreement and all that on certain things. But there's some things where God says, I need one person, like Moses. You got Moses. You know, he didn't have to have Aaron. He tried to do it without Aaron. God said, you know, Moses kept saying, I need somebody. So he brought him somebody. All right? Well, he didn't have to have it, but he did. But God can use one person that will listen to him and obey his word. Things will happen. If something needs to be made, he'll make it. If everything's there to do it, he'll do whatever it takes to make that thing work. He just needs somebody to agree with him. That's all he needs. He doesn't need a bunch of people agreeing. He doesn't need a bunch of money. He doesn't need a bunch of anything. He just says, I just need some agreement, and not even a bunch of it. I just need one person to agree with me. Lord, I thank you, Father, you find people where you got one, two people that can agree with you. God, you can change the world. You can create things. You can make things. You can make things happen. When Moses showed up in Egypt, you know, they should have ran him out of town. They should have put him in jail. They should have done a bunch of things. But you know what? They couldn't touch him. They never did do anything with him. You know why? Because God was with him. And he said, if I could just find one person that would agree with me on this thing to do what I say do, I will use them to conquer the whole world. And that's really what he did through Jesus. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. Moses did one thing at the end that God didn't like. He didn't like it a lot. You know what he did? He said, that's it for you. You know, so it's so important when God gives you that responsibility. Do it between, you know, I need somebody two or more agree, or where, you know, you and I agree. That's it. I'll bring the people. I'll bring the money. I'll bring whatever needs to be bring there. I'll bring it in. I just need somebody to agree with me, and then I'll move all heaven to make it happen. But I've got to have somebody, one person at least, to agree with me, and it shall be done. Happened with Gideon. Gideon ended up having the 300, but the 300 were under his, you know, leadership that God was speaking to him. God was telling him what to do, and he told one person what to do, and they did it, and God made it a success. He conquered. All right. Jeff and Ute, that's for you. That's y'all. Y'all McGraw. Okay. Who am I not getting? Somebody talk to me, please. My switchboard is really messed up tonight. Really messed up tonight. So I apologize for all that, and I'm trying real hard here. Okay, let's go here with, I think Cheryl will be after this one. Shannon 608, 6960, are you there?
Hey. Yep.
Yeah, sorry for the mess up, everybody, tonight. Oh, Marja, yes, Marja, sorry. Yes. Yeah, Marja, thank you. I just saw that, thank you. Oh, boy. Wow. Okay, for my brother tonight, Shannon, God, thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for that. Herculoric. What does that mean? I don't know if that means Herculoric. Is that a word? Herculoric. I'm going to try to look it up. Herculoric or something like that. Makes no sense to me. So this is going to be an unusual one, I guess. When I looked up Herculoric, which is not the word Herculoric there, like a Hercules thing. All right, Hercules thing. We'll see what it says. I'm just going to go with it. Hercules is the Roman equivalent of the Greek divine hero, Hercules, son of Jupiter, and the mortal Alcmena, whatever that is. You know, I'm just reading this for the first time. Classical mythology. Hercules is famous for his strength and for his numerous far-ranging adventures. All right. Thank you, Lord, that Shannon's image and idea of wanting to be like Hercules, you know, in a good way, in a godly way. To be a man who uses his strength to help people, a man who uses his abilities to set people free, to give them freedom, to be a hero in the eyes, you know, like Peter was a hero to his people, you know, Paul the Apostle was a hero in a sense, you know, it was a humble hero, but he was a hero because he fought with the sword, you know, the devils, and he was an amazing fighter. He was an amazing warrior. He's amazing with the sword of the Word of God. You know, just like Hercules in the spirit realm. You know, Paul the Apostle was an amazing sword. He was a swordsman. Like, oh my gosh, a dream I had of a sword. I'm like going, only God can swing that stuff, man. The one I saw. So it's like, you know, you'd have to be a Hercules to swing that sword. And I'm definitely not a Hercules, but that was working anyway, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like God, you know, uses power to deliver people. We just have to be yielded vessels. I thank you, Lord, for Shannon's yieldedness to you, his ability to yield to you, God, in Jesus' name, and submit himself to you and open himself up to you, God, so you can pour your strength through him, your power through him, God, to be that man that every woman would want. You know, like, oh, yeah, man, he's cool. He's like a hero. He's like, man, he's like, he knows how to wield the sword. He's out to save people, help people. He lays his life down for people. In Jesus' name, give him that image of himself, God, as a person who would lay his life down and save others, and save a village with his own life, you know, to protect people. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. Open that up for him in Jesus' name. And bless him with that, God. All right, you never know what you're going to get when you come on PGN, that's for sure. If if I don't know. How can anybody else know? I don't know. Maybe some people know. I don't know. It's Marja. All right, Marja. Come in, Marja. Thank you, Marja. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom, God, to free her, the spirit of freedom, where she's so free. She's so free that she goes around setting other people free. She's free financially. She's free emotionally. She's free mentally. She's free in every way, God, where she can go around and say, what kind of freedom do you want? I want financial freedom. All right, there you go. You got it. I agree with you. It is done. What kind of freedom do you need? I need freedom to have relationships. Okay, I loosen you to have freedom to have relationships. Whatever's messing you up to keep you from having a relationship with a man or a woman or a husband or wife or business, whatever it is, I set you free. You are free of that. Set them free in Jesus' name. And then free to be, hallelujah, liberated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that power in Marja, God, to liberate, to set free, set people free, God, because in those areas where she's free, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, because you called her to help other people, to believe for other people, just a simple agreement, not anything heavy duty. You don't have to spend hours and hours, man. It's in the name of Jesus, whatever you touch is touch something. It's touching. It's not some big heavyweight thing. It's a touching thing. Whatever two or more agree is touching something. It's quick and that easy. We think, you know, having people break through is like we got to go over there and talk to them for hours and minister to them for hours. Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes it's like a touch thing. It's like bing, bing, bada bing, bada boom. Done in Jesus' name. Show her that, God. Show her that's not what true power is, what true authority and true power is. Jesus just walks up to him and says, you know, be healed in Jesus' name, and that's it. You don't have to spend hours wailing and praying, and I mean, I love all that stuff. I've done all that stuff, but it's like, you know, he moved that place where he said, put a little dirt on their eye, got a new eyeball, you know, to tell them to go wash. Yeah, how easy things are in God, how easy things are. So you will draw her into that easy. My yoke is easy, Marja, and my burden is light. We don't feel overwhelmed because God's going through these things. We're feeling like something God wants to do that seems so big to us, but it's so heavy. I can't really live up to it or do it all. Now, in Jesus' name, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hallelujah. You walk in the light. When you walk in the light, as He is in the light, everything is done by light, right? By light. It's all light. In Jesus' name, when you walk in the light, you can see everything. Everything's easy. If you're in the darkness, it's twice as dark. You can't see what you're doing. How do I clean this room up? I can't even see it. When the light's on, it's easy. You can see everything. You know where to put it and what to do with it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for marching, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. I hope you, Valerie, is able to hear this. Valerie, sorry I missed you tonight. So far, we're going to get you. It is 11:47 Texas time, so you know where to find 11:47. Yeah, on Texas time, so you know where to find this. Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm just letting you know where it's at on the archive in case you're asleep. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Valerie. Thank you, Jesus, for God, for bringing her help from above. God, that because she's looking to you, you're going to bring help from above. When you bring help from above, it comes from above. The people that come, the situations that come, it's like, oh, my gosh, I got a blessing here. How did this happen? Because of the help from above. It may be, you know, human beings being used, but it's help from above. In other words, they're out there to take advantage of you. They're there to be your servant, be your friend, for you to bring you through, because it's help from above. And I thank you, Jesus, for Valerie, God, as your heart looks up to heaven for help. God, bringing help from above, not help from the earth. I mean, it comes through earthly beings, but they come in the name of the Lord. They come, you know, in one way or the other to be a blessing. And I thank you, Jesus, because her heart looks up to you. Her heart looks up to you, God. You're bringing help from above. And she's going to draw that. When you have your heart looking for help from above, lift up your head, you know, look unto the mountain, to the hills, from whence cometh your help, from above, from the hills, from the Lord. And when you do that, when you have that spirit about you, you draw that out of people. You draw the God out of people. You draw the help of God out of people, where you everybody's helping each other in God. They're doing it because God's telling them, not because they're trying to get something out of it. They're there to be a blessing, to serve, to love, because it's help from above. And you draw that to you, drawing out of God. When you're drawn out of God, you look to him for your help, and you know your heart's lifted up to him, and you draw, then it draws people that love God too, that I want to serve God, to bring them together, to bring a help, to cause things to happen, to cause things to work, cause things to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen for Valerie, God, in Jesus' name. Open her up to that, God. Let her see that it's in her heart. All she has to do is just lift you up, and you will draw all men into her. All right, Cheryl from Florida.
Okay.
All right, I got you, Cheryl. I don't know if you're listening right now or not, but it's 11:50. Okay, you're on. Okay. So I don't tell you what time it is. All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. God, we thank you, Lord, for the servant's heart you've given her, God, the servant's heart. And because she has a servant's heart, God, and Jesus said, those who have a servant's heart what they do is they end up being servants of God. Jesus was talking about being a servant of God. Servants of God are here to help the earth, are here to help people, are here to, you know, to have, you know, good things. God things, blessing things to happen. And when you're a servant, you serve God things. You serve blessing things. You serve whatever God gives you, you give it away. If he gives you grace, you give that grace away. If he gives you mercy, you give that mercy away. If he gives you a situation that you have to judge and correct, then you do that. If you have a situation where you have to speak, things that you don't want to speak, you do it. Why? Because you're a servant. And whoever God can find to be a servant of his, that will deliver whatever he says, however he says it, whether it's like you've talked about this before, where you gave mercy and grace where maybe it wasn't deserved, you know, that's being a servant. A servant is somebody who does what God says. That's what he said. And when you're a servant of God, you serve like that, you shall be great. He said, they shall be great. Why are they great? Because they're great in God's eyes. Like Jesus said of the Father said of Jesus when he got baptized, but now he said, this is my beloved son. I am well pleased. Why? Because Jesus was a true servant. He served whatever. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. That's what I serve. I only serve that. I don't serve my own will, my own way, my own thinking. If God tells me to rebuke a Pharisee, I will rebuke a Pharisee. If he tells me to bless somebody in spite of themselves, I will bless them, because that's what a servant does. And that's why God says, you know, he makes great his servants. Amen. Because when God trusts you with treasures, the treasure is a treasure. We find that treasures are whatever God is saying. That's what a treasure is. Doesn't matter whether it sounds like a treasure, isn't a treasure, is a treasure, doesn't make any difference. If it's from God, it's a treasure. Even if it doesn't look like it, even if it looked like something, you know, I've had to do things and say things I didn't even agree with God on. And yet, because, you know, he's given me that way to treasure his word, I give it anyway. And then I find out what it means. Sometimes he doesn't show you the purpose of a word until after you give it. When I gave the thing about Biden, I didn't understand what was going on with all that Trump wasn't going to make it anymore. He's out. Biden's in. You know, I didn't want that. I didn't vote for him. But God said, just do what I say. Tell him what I say. And learning how to serve and do that the best I could, you know, God started saying, yeah, I can trust you. You know, you serve and do what I, even though I didn't agree with it at first. And then he showed me afterwards why he was doing all of it. He was doing all of it. Real soon, I've been watching the videos of Kim Commit stuff they're putting out. And he put out a video just recently about the Biden, according to them, it was about Biden. And they said, and he says, Kim Commit's prophesying like he did, like a wild man. He said, and God shall bring a veil upon America. This shall darken for a while. So my people will grow in faith. And he said that they would become strong. And she said, Kim Commit's daughter says, whatever her name is, I don't remember her name. She said, that's Joe Biden. That's what she's, and Kim Commit says, and I did it, saith the Lord. I brought this veil. She's the only person I've ever heard, of course, interpreting one of Kim Commit's prophecies. saying, she said, that's Joe Biden. He's talking about Joe Biden. He said, and he said, God said, I did it. Now, nobody said that but me that I know of in the prophetic realm. Nobody. It's still not saying it. But she said that she interpreted that. I'm going to talk about that soon. You know, you learn, you know, to give words because God, and then he rewards you for it later. Amen. So our reward, we look for the reward because reward is what promotes the kingdom of God. When you're a servant of God, your rewards all promote the kingdom of God. They bless you and they promote the kingdom. All right. Anybody else that I've missed so far? I apologize for the way it went tonight. You know, I did not understand. I don't understand what happened exactly, except phone calls were missed, and I apologize for that. If I've missed you, please let me know, and I will do my best. Praying for Mark and Deborah. I forgot to pray for them. We pray for them, but I'm asking her right now how they're doing. I think I forgot to prophesy and pray over them, but I'm asking them right now how they're doing because it's how's he doing? All right, I'm asking her right now how he's doing. Checking on Deborah and Mark from Washington. Seeing how they're doing. Hopefully they can answer. Maybe not. All right, Deborah. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this or not, but giving word. Hang on a second. Giving word. Ministering a word right now to you on Blog Talk show at 11:56, something like that. All right. And here's the word of the Lord to you, Deborah and Mark. And it's just really strange when I had you guys at your text trying to ask you how you're doing. A song, an old song from a movie I saw once. It was a movie about Jewish, you know, the Fiddler on the Roof. And the song that came to me, you know, if I were a rich man, it just rose up in me just like that as I'm looking at your text, asking how, you know, Mark is doing. And trying to text you when I'm doing this. Okay. If I were a rich man. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like God is saying to you, what would you do if you were a rich man, a rich woman, right? What would you do? You know, like God said, like God asking Solomon, you know, what do you want? What would you do if you were king? You know, what are you going to do? You know, what do you want? What are you going to do? I'll give you whatever you want. What are you going to do with it? It's like that. Like, if I were a rich man, if I were, and God's saying, what if you were rich? What would you do? You know, meditate on that and dwell on that. Because when you have a heart for God and you believe in the riches of God and the kingdom of God and know that everything that God gives you is for his, you know, that we can either keep it for ourselves or follow for ourselves, or give some of it, you know, wherever God tells us to do it, and keep some of it for ourselves, pay our taxes and pay Jesus' taxes, or, you know, so thank you, Lord. Okay, you're on, so thank you. Yeah, it's like I just kept hearing that song, If I Were a Rich Man, you know, Fiddler on the Roof. Yes, and so you're welcome, thank you. And so, so that whole song and coming on there with that, and God saying, you know, like getting to dwell on that, meditate on it. What would you do if I blessed you? What would you do if I made you a millionaire, multi-billionaire, whatever? What would you do with it? What would you do with it? It's like so sometimes God asks that stuff, like he asked Solomon. He said, you know, what do you want? And because so what do you want, Solomon? God said, and Solomon says, well, I want wisdom to, you know, judge your people. And his heart meant it, you know, and God says, you're going to get that and money. You're gonna get that and wealth. Like, so Now he's not. If he was a rich man, now he's really going to be a rich man, and he gives counsel, you know, counsel of God, right? So thank you, Lord, for that with Deborah and Mark, God, in Jesus' name, that you getting them to meditate and dwell on, because that's sometimes when God has us dwell on something, when God has us, he puts a thought in our head, a thing, a song in our heart, if with a reason, with a purpose behind it, it's there because it's him giving it and him giving you something to meditate on, to dwell on, to, you know, what I do if I was a rich man or a rich woman. I do what God says. Yeah. If he said, give it all away, I would. But if you asked me to just divide it down the middle, I'd do it too. Whatever you say, hey, that's what I'll do. You know, see, like it's like God saying, like you start dreaming about that. Well, like this, the fiddle on the roof, I think he was dreaming if I was a rich man, you know, and like he was dreaming of it. And God sometimes has us start dreaming so he can start, you know, bringing it to pass, you know. Yeah, amen, something like that. Awesome. Unusual thing. Yeah, I was sitting there looking at your text and thinking about, you know, texting you, how's Mark doing? And he's doing okay, he says. And then I started getting that song rising up within me and that whole thought process. Great, unusual. All right, awesome. All right, let's go here to 5. Let's see here. 509-492, who am I talking to your phone, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Deborah.
Deborah, from where? I just showed you how dingy I am tonight. Our host switchboard got messed up tonight, and just messed up everything, messed up the whole show. I couldn't even, you know.
Darn.
Yeah, but so I started, people started texting me saying, you know, I'm on. I said, I don't see you. So I don't know how you got on there. Yeah, really. And so
when you texted me when you texted me saying that to go on because you had a word for us, the doctor was just left the room and said that his CT scan and his EKG and everything came back clear. So he doesn't know why he passed out. So he's just going to be on. We're just going to be observing him. So. Praise God, because we claim that it was just an attack, because God has given us a vision of just what you just said, of grand things that are in our near future. And I said, I think this is just an attack. I think this is something that God, the enemy is trying to use against us to distract us from moving forward in our vision and the word that, you know, you've spoken over us a few times that we claim. And you confirmed it. You confirmed it right at the moment that...
Yeah.
Mark's in the bed looking at me right now because we're waiting for the doctor to come in with the next, what we're supposed to do now. But I didn't even tell him any of what you were saying yet because I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the prayers. And we are, we need to fight this battle together. And it's just an attack. I claim it in the name of Jesus. And
right. So did he have any, has he had any temperature or had, any kind of, you know, symptoms of any kind at all, just kind of passed out.
No, he got weak. He got weak. Friday we were talking about these plans, and I'll share later what this vision that God gave him and gave me that we were like, let's start doing it. So we started planning on this, on moving forward with this plan, and he got like lightheaded, and he goes, dang, I got to lay down. I feel, you know, like I'm going to pass out. So then I said, you need to probably get your blood work done. Maybe your blood sugar's off or something. And then Sunday, and so Sunday he did it again when we were talking about it. And I thought, well, that's weird. And, you know, well, so he had a doctor's appointment set up for tomorrow. And then today he got home from dinner. And just before you came on, we just finished dinner and we were talking again about the plans. And he said, he told me when I came up to the hospital, he said, God just was giving me a vision of what we were talking about. And all of a sudden I just went black and he passed out and he like slammed his head on the ground. Like, well, he was on his knees because he slid out of the chair And I looked over at him and said, "What's going on? What, you know, what are you doing? What's going on?" And then he just flopped over, and so he cut his head.
Oh
so
God.
I said, "Okay, you're going to the doctor's right now, and we're not going to wait till you go. We're going to the hospital. I'm not going to wait till you go to the doctor's. We're just gonna." And so
absolutely, wow.
That's when, yeah. So
well,
yeah,
in a sense, we call this like a weakness. Like you know, when Paul says, "When I become weak, then God becomes strong." It's like we're just look at this like, you know, that, like God is preparing you. In other words, when we become weak, weakened,
right,
you know, Paul says,
correct.
When I came weak, you know, and God, God became strong through me.
He'll be strong.
You know, to do what he wanted him to do. So the strength that came through his weakness that was imparted to him in his weakness was the strength that God was giving him to, in other words, I can't do this without you. I'll pass out. I can't make it. I can't
oh
do it
gosh.
With my own strength. It's like, so that weakness, Paul says, in my weakness, God became strong, or he became strong. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. With Mark, we thank you, Jesus, for doing that, God. We thank you that the very thing that the word I gave when I was looking at your text, and all of a sudden that song, If I Were a Rich Man, like, I'm going like, where's that coming from? Like, that is so crazy. And then I realized it's an impartation, God, is to dream with, to dream big, to dream, you know, and to meditate on it. Yeah.
That's so accurate. All right. Well, thank you, Randy. And I'm going to, I'm glad that I got to talk to you. I'm going to call in and talk to you about my little guy. I'm going to start putting the oils on him and stuff. It's too long of a text to text, so I'll just call and I'm excited to see the results from that. Well, you have a good night. Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you before, hope to, but just in case. Thank you so much.
We'll see.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you, too. Bye-bye. All right. Looking forward to that. And God's doing awesome stuff. So, wow. The Lord is so gracious and so kind. And we just love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty, mighty works. All right. 912-339. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela Joy, Georgia. All right. Thank you, Angela. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angela. We thank you, Lord, for the holidays. We thank you for the holiday season. Thank you for the family. We thank you for, you know, the love. We thank you for the party spirit, you know, the right kind of party spirit, the Holy Ghost party spirit, to party with the Lord, to party with loved ones, to be able to just like, you know, when you get together, certain things, you just kind of drop everything and just love each other and bless each other with where everybody's at, no matter where they're at, whether they're doing what we think they should be doing or not. It's like we kind of get together, we drop all that, and we just like, I'm not going to work on that. I'm just going to love. I'm just going to fellowship. I'm just going to enjoy them. I'm just going to enjoy the time together. We're just thank you, Lord, for bringing us together for love, for fellowship, for friendship, God, and just going to party and just not try to, you know, see, you know, where are you at spiritually and where are you at with this and how are you doing with that? Are you being it's like dropping all that. It's like going, I'm just going to love you because I love you. Lord, I thank you that for that desire and Angela Joy's heart, God, to do that and be that in Jesus' name. And just, there's times that we correct, there's times that we check on people. Like, that's what mothers do. That's what parents do. That's what preachers do. That's what business people do. They check on people. How are you doing? Okay, let's fix this. Let's fix that. So we can make them more productive. But sometimes you just come together and you just love and you fellowship and you enjoy one another and love one another where you're at. And thank you, Jesus, for that, for the prospering her in that way, God, in Jesus' name, where you'll do a mighty work in the midst of just simple love and fellowship and grace and mercy, God, in Jesus' name. And then watching you good do a great work that you're going to find, Angela, God doing a great work that the things you've worked on for years, which still have had great effect, but at the same time, it's kind of comes to a point where you just let go. You know, okay, I'm going to give all the glory to God. I'm not going to try to see, fix, change anything, you know, which is part of our job. And then God says, you know, now it's time to just praise me. Now it's time to just love him and fellowship with him. And, you know, we always love him, but we love him in a very special way. It's like, okay, you know, I'm giving God all the glory, all the praise. I love you where you're at. I love you where you're not at. I love you because I just love you. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of love flowing through her, God, bringing great joy. Amen. In Jesus' name, in her heart, and doing a mighty, mighty work that could never be done any other way. All the labor you've done, all that stuff, it's done a lot of things. But, you know, it's like we enter that place where we just lift our hands, and then all of a sudden God does some miraculous work that we could never understood. Oh, my God, look what you did. Because of this now time, this now moment where we just love and accept everybody right where they're at, thinking, like, what good's it going to do if I can't help them change? Because God uses me to do that. Now he's just saying, just raise your hands, praise him, and love him, and watch me do a mighty, mighty work like never before, changing things, rearranging things that you just like. Been believing God for years, praying, believing, you know, talking to, sharing. And now God says, now watch me work. Watch me work in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch me work. Watch me work. Amen. Sometimes we got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. It's not always the time to stand still. Sometimes it's the time to work, labor. And the Lord said, all of a sudden, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord for Angela Joy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. If that's it for tonight, I guess that's it for me. And thank you for being with us. And if you don't get on there pretty quick, I'm going to move on. It's been an odd night because our switchboard just somehow went crazy. And I don't know what happened to it. I don't know what I did or didn't do or something. But anyway, thank you, Jesus, that you worked it out. As far as I can tell, hopefully I didn't miss anybody. We love to pray for people. We love, you know, we love doing it, right? It's a love of our life to let Jesus love people and minister to people. Nothing like it. Nothing like it in the world. And even in the kingdom, I think, you know, of course I'm a little prejudiced probably because I like the prophetic realm. Yes, I do. Okay. All right. All right. I guess that's it for tonight. Nobody else has their hand up, you know. All right. 12:12 is exactly 12:12 my time, Central Standard Time. 12:12. Oh, yes. All right, Daniel and Carmen. Yes, we prayed for Daniel earlier, and I don't know what. This has been a crazy night. Thank you for reminding me, Carmen. You know me. Thank you for that. I would have just, you know, I've got so many different texts tonight. I've lost some of them, I guess. You know, I think I've lost some of my stuff. But thank you. Thank you for your mercies, God. Thank you for your grace for Daniel, God. Thank you for protecting him, watching over him, blessing him, God. Making him assure of who he is, making him assure of what you've called him to do and called him to be, making him assure, God, where he walks in that assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a, watch this, foretaste of glory divine. Oh, watching and waiting, watching and waiting. Down from above, how's it going? Full of his mercy, full of his love, something like that. This is my story, this is my song. Daniel's praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, it's literally my story. My story. Jesus' story has become my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but anyway, there you go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless him, God. Bless him, God. Watching over him. Watching over him. Watching over him. Watching over him. Make it new. Make it new. Make it new. Make it new, God. Make a new thing. Make a new thing. Make a new thing. You know, question, any questions, any doubts, anything that you want to answer God's. His questions are things that God wants us to ask him. And when we ask him, he answers us, and then we know from him. Hallelujah. Ask and you shall receive. In other words, ask question. What do you ask? Question. Questioning, people think questioning is like doubting. Questioning, sometimes it's just a question. ask what? A question. And you shall receive, right? So thank you, Lord, for all the questions that you're answering for Dan of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Pray for Carmen tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Thank you for her little cayenne pepper Holy Ghost spirit about her, God. That cayenne pepper thing. I'm looking at that cayenne pepper, that gumbo thing you sent me. It made me hungry, actually. Thank you for that gumbo, that cayenne pepper in her spirit, God, that God you use in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit is able to penetrate every part of it, just like cayenne pepper. Angela Lannon was telling us about it's able to reach every part of your body, every body part you have on the inside. Thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost is able to reach in certain word, certain elements of the Word of God that are able to reach and penetrate where others don't. Hallelujah. God, you use, Carmen, like your Word to penetrate those things where most people, they don't get, it doesn't penetrate them, it doesn't change them, it doesn't move them. God, your Word, like cayenne pepper, will be hot and on fire and penetrate those things and those places where other, you know, elements of it doesn't go for some reason, somehow, some way. Amen. In Jesus' name, open, 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 open. Close, close, close. God said, I'm opening up doors and I'm closing doors. Closing doors behind you. I don't close doors in front of you. I close doors behind you and open up doors in front of you. Amen. The doors behind you are closed. Amen. Hallelujah. And the doors before you, I will open doors before you and close doors behind you. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Hallelujah. Seal it. Let it be sealed in Jesus' name. Let it be sealed, God, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, if any particular kind of prayer anybody wants, you can ask if you want, whatever. We will go forth in the glory of God. If you need to text me for something, I'm still here. Yes, I am. If I were a rich man, I love that, man. When it came out, I was like, very unusual. If I were a rich man. Cool. Nobody else is texting me right now, so. Well, maybe. Yeah, fiddler on the roof, I know. Get all these little things. I never know what they mean exactly unless God shows me. So, yeah, fiddler on the roof. Pretty cool. The way God brings it out is so awesome to watch and talk about it. Sweet Jesus stuff. Akariko Patawa. Yeah, Carico Patawa. Carico. I don't know if I'm saying Patara. Patero. I don't know. Once I say it, if I don't say it in spirit, then it sounds the same. So. All right, y'all. Awesome. Blossom. We're going to blossom. Blossom in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, I think Martine. Okay, yeah, I forgot Martine. Martine. It's Wednesday night, and I'm praying over you. I think you called in earlier. I'm not sure. Period. Mine. Switchboard got messed up tonight. 12:21 Central Standard Time. Martine, thank you, Lord, for Martine, God. Thank you, Jesus. I saw that you text me there and wanting to advice and stuff. So. Okay, well, all right. Look into that. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just don't do that much, as you know, so we'll just maybe send me something by text, prep me for what you want to talk about, and we'll see what goes on. All right. We love to pray and minister to people, for sure. No doubt about it. So thank you, Lord, for the increasing Martine, God, increasing her faith, God, where her faith increases, God. In Jesus' name, we double her faith. You're doubling her faith. Sometimes when we get our faith doubled, we go through, because when you have double, you know, questions, it means you get double the answers too when we get them, right? So we think, oh, these questions, what am I going to do? It's like God says, you know, when we ask him a lot more questions, asking more deeper questions, more double the questions, then we get double answers. Right? We start doubling things. Like God moves us into the double realm, double, 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 double for our trouble. And so instead of getting, you know, one thing, two things less than the four things, we turn, you know, two things into 10 things, you know, or doubled, whatever double would be. Two into whatever doubles that. Doubles four, right? Yeah, there you go. I doubled mine. Yeah, so that double world. There you go. I'm getting it clear now here. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me out. Yeah, for Martine, God, that you're bringing her to that place of doubling her faith, God, so she's going to double. So in other words, faith comes by hearing, you know, so we ask questions, like with me, God gives me the questions to ask him so that he can answer them, because it's almost like a legal thing with God. You have to ask him the right question before he can give you the answer, because he doesn't just answer everything. You have to ask him the right question. So that's a big mystery with God I didn't understand. So I'm always asking him, Martine, you know, God, what do you want me to ask you for? You know, like what Solomon did. Solomon asked for the right thing. Right. So what do we ask? What do we ask you for, God? What do you want me to ask for? Because some of them were asking for, you know, this and ask for that. And he says, no, you're missing all the, you're asking the wrong questions. It's a big thing for God, because you miss it when you ask the wrong question, right? Because he doesn't answer something if it's not the right question. So I thank you, Lord, for giving us the right questions, for doubling her questions, giving us more things to question, more things to question, calls us, but who we question? We don't question. We question God, right? We're not questioning him like doubting. We're like questioning, we're wanting to know. Ask me, shall receive. What's asking? It's questioning. Questioning is asking. It's not doubting. It's questioning. Asking. Asking is, you know, asking a question. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, bless her with that. And begin to give her answers, God, questions that she asked. Hallelujah. A word of knowledge by the depth of the Spirit, by the burden you place within her to ask, to open her mouth. She will open her mouth so you can feel it. Opening her mouth means opening my mouth and asking. And like asking is opening your mouth. I have to open my mouth to say, I ask you, God. And yeah, I know you know where I really are, but yeah, God's trying to bring it to another place. Okay. Okay, so when Rico means rich, that was part of your word in tongues. Oh, was it Rico? No way. And fiddler on the roof? And I just said that in tongues? Wow. The fiddler on the roof thing, that's what, if I was a rich man, rich, Rico Patrana, Rico Patrera, Patrino, Patrana, Patrana. Interesting, I said that, huh? I'm glad somebody's paying attention over here. That is so awesome. So rich, Rico means rich. patata. What patata means what? What does patata mean? Potato? 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 Patati? Patati? Okay. So Rico Patrano means, Rico means what? Patrano means what? Petaiwa. It means rich. What does Rico mean? I mean, I don't know what you're saying. You're not telling me what Rico Patrano means, I don't think, are you? Maybe you are, and I'm not getting it. Rico means rich. What does Petreo mean? Patrana, or what is that word? P-A-T-R-A-N-A. So I'm not getting what Patrana means yet, so I don't know. I'm just missing that or what, but cool, man. All right, we will move on here and call tonight. Tonight been awesome. Well, Angel Joy says I've sang Fiddler Over the Roof song to her. I don't know what hey what means. Okay, so you know. Oh, I see. So you don't know what that means. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know either. Awesome, though. Wow. Here I am singing Fiddler Over the Roof and talking about being rich. Rich means, Rico means, I said that. I didn't know I said that, but you said that means rich. So Fiddler Over the Roof, if I were a rich man. Angela Joyce says, I've sang that over her before. Awesome. I've had the Fiddler Over the Roof song sang over me by you as well. Oh, I did not know. Sounds good to me. Sounds right. I love it. In Spanish, Rico means rich. Okay. Awesome. We'll figure out that. We'll figure it out later if it's possible to figure it out. Wow. So, interesting. Well, I certainly want to be rich in every way. I want to be, oh, Puerto Rico means rich pork. Oh, I see. Ah, I did not know that. Puerto Rico. I'm getting pretty good at this stuff. That is so awesome, man. Puerto Rico, okay. Huh. Interesting. I love it. That's really cool. All right. Okay. All right, y'all. It's been great, man. I'm going to call it a night, I guess. I'm like over here yawning. Because I'm lazy or just giving out. One or the other. Usually lazy. Yeah. Not usually. All right. I guess I'm going to call it a night then. Interesting. That's very interesting. Puerto Rico. Rico means rich port. Wow. Awesome. Okay. That's it for me. I'm going to go. I'm very yawning and trying to keep from yawning in my phone. So everybody didn't hear it, but I love it. Y'all know I love it. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for the privilege of being sharing God's word with everybody and words as in many words, the rich words, rich port, like PGNs or Puerto Rico, the Rico port. All right, y'all. I'm going to go. Bye.